1992 between the ANC and alliance partners, civil society and the National Party in determining the future of South Africa. You know, the time of ICODESA, you know what the contribution and the alliance partners when Comrade Chris was coming to say that now let's go to the street. If you still remember the campaign of Yvette, because those who we were not portraying from themselves, they didn't want Ukukoba Upond. Therefore, our current generation has an obligation and duty to protect and sustain our heart and democracy. Honorable Minister, we are belonging to that generation. Secondly, we celebrate our workers of this world, and May Day was a clear reminder of the sacrifice that our workers make to keep our economies running despite the severe challenges they face on a daily basis. We should continue to fight against unfair labor practices, poor wages, work exploitation, child labor, and other atrocities that are imposed on our workers and the working class in general. Some of us who have been involved on those struggles of workers, we know what we're talking about, and that's why every now and then this democratic government always keep in mind that the workers must do what is right for themselves. But the only thing that we can say, don't destroy whilst you want something to happen to you. With those words, I would like to officially open this meeting. Let me take this opportunity to check acting DG to tell who's here. Once I'm aware that I've seen Honorable Minister, Honorable Zizi Kodwa, I'm seeing him here in this platform. Acting DG, are you with us?
Yes, good morning, Chairperson. Morning, Minister. Good morning to the members and my colleagues. I am here, Chairperson. I would, and happy Africa Month to you and everyone. I would like to just give indication that indeed we are led by the minister in this meeting. He is present, as you have correctly said. In addition, from the department, the Deputy Director General, DDG Chipatamba, is here, and DDG Khan, Sumaya Khan. We would like to apologize for DDG Vusithemba Ndima, because he has had to accompany the Deputy Minister at the launch of the Africa Month in the Eastern Cape. But we do have the Chief Directors from the Heritage Promotion and Preservation, Ivan Langefeld, together with Bulen Kekane from DDG Ndima's branch, who would be able to deal with those aspects. In addition, Chairperson, we have the Chief Director responsible for infrastructure management, Lebogang Mokgwera, is present in the meeting. We also have got the Chief Director from Sports and Recreation, Simphiwe Mncube. We have got the Chief Director for Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, Manasse Makwela. And we have the CFO, Israel Mukwale, who is also present in the meeting. In addition to those senior managers that I've mentioned, we are supported by staff from ministry, the director from ministry, Ms. Ramalepe, together with Lodwick, are here from the office of the DG. but also from ministry, as I have indicated, we have the chief of staff, Ms. Nonsikelelo Bagwa. She is present in the meeting. I would indicate, Chair, later on if there are others that I might have missed out as perhaps we engage with the committee. Oh, sorry, Chair, from sport, we also have Teboho Tebihai, the chief director there, who is also present in the meeting. So those are the officials from the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Acting DG. By doing that, I've noticed that Mr. Ndima is with a DM, so which means in the apologies, we have UDM and Mr. Ndima, according to your introduction.
Apologies for that. Yes, Chairperson, the apology for the Deputy Minister was forwarded to the Secretariat. Yes. Indeed, can I confirm that as well? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Soleka, can you have other apologies?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We only have the apology of the Deputy Minister who is in the Eastern Cape for the launch of Africa Month. And the Minister has also requested to leave the meeting early due to other commitments, Madam Chair. That is all from our side, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, I don't have any other apologies. I can give the chance. If you didn't have a chance to report it to the administrators, to give an apology. Any other apologies from members? Honorable members, I'm proposing the adoption of the agenda. Honorable Zondi. Or can we welcome you, Honorable Zonda? I didn't see that you are here. Honorable members, we are welcoming Honorable Zondi back to the work as he was having a bereavement. Again, take it easy, Honorable Zondi. We know a home without a mother is just, you feel it's homeless. You must make it to be warm. Because you are a leader, we are welcoming you back. Honorable Zondi.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And good morning to you, the Minister and the Department and Honorable Members. Thank you once again, Chair, for the support given, you gave me in the last week of the trying times we had as a family. All members who sent messages and calls. Thank you so much. Chair, I move that we adopt the agenda as presented to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Please take care, be strong. You are a man. This thing that man doesn't cry, some of us who don't want that can mourn, but I thank you that you come back to work. It's too early, but thank you so much. Honorable Adams.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all on the platform. Minister, led by the department. Chairperson, I wanted to second on the adoption of the agenda. I thank you.
Thank you. Minister is leading this delegation. Thank you so much. Can the agenda now? Yes. We are in item number two. Acting DG want briefing by the budget, vote 37 and the Performance Annual Plan 2023 and 2024. And then if you can talk to your slides. The slides were with us in time. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I am going to start and take the members through the annual performance plan part of the presentation, and then towards the end of my presentation, I'll hand over to the Chief Financial Officer who will talk to the budget allocation in terms of this particular vote that we are dealing with. So our presentation covers the format as indicated in this slide. Would like to just immediately go into the slides. Chairperson, and with your permission, as you have indicated, yes, we did send the presentation in time, in line with the timeline that was sent to us. And allow me, therefore, not to read the slides verbatim. It's quite a long presentation, as it is expected with the APP. Would then want to start off by talking to what is it that guided our planning as we put this APP together. Very key to the planning that we did was...
Acting Chief, if members would allow me, as the minister wanted that by 11 o'clock must be released, if you can stop there, and maybe minister, you can generally talk to us in order that you have got a right to do an opening of this vote 37. I'm seeing and foreseeing the presentation is too long, and maybe if you want to say something out of your budget vote even before it's presented, if you don't mind, Minister, if you are thinking that you can join the questions after the presentation is upon you.
I suggest that we allow the presentation. I can deal with the issues later if there are any issues to be commented on the
budget. Your reception is so bad. Okay, Honourable Minister, go on, Acting DG.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Minister. So this particular slide talks to what guided the planning, as I was indicating, and we took into account a range of informing legislation, prescripts, and also we took into account the guiding plans that guide government, the functioning of government, right up to the level of those that are very specific to the department. So I won't read each and every one, but suffice to say, our planning did its best in making sure that there is alignment, and we believe we'll show that later as we go into the presentation. Next slide. This is the mandate of the department, Chairperson, that we are emphasizing in this part, in this particular slide. And it is the mandate that is defined also in our strategic plan document, the five-year plan against which we have been working, which is coming to the end in this new financial year, to provide leadership to the sectors that we service and to accelerate its transformation, make sure that there is an enabling environment that is created through policy, legislations, and framework, and promote participation in the sectors that we service, lead to the nation building and social cohesion through social transformation, preserve, develop, protect, and promote cultural heritage, linguistic diversity, and legacy of South Africa, amongst others, as depicted in this particular slide. And I think further on, we aligned this to the outcomes that we will just indicate also in this presentation. Next slide. this is the vision that drives us. I think I always say it's very important that we keep our eyes on whether the interventions we put in place in the department talk to an active, talk to a creative, talk to a winning, and also talk to a socially cohesive nation. We do think how we also structured even the organogram is in response to this particular vision and the mission statement, of course. Next slide. The values are as indicated. I would not read through the values that inform the work that we are doing from the Batupele to accountability as depicted again in this line. Next one. I will now move to talk to the government priorities and the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture outcomes. The top part of this slide talks to the 7 government priorities, which is building a capable, ethical and development state, economic transformation and job creation, education, skills and health, consolidation of the social wage through reliable and quality basic service, special integration, human settlement and local government, social cohesion and safe communities, a better Africa and world. I'm just reading those texts because as you look at the outcomes, the 2 categories of outcomes, priority outcomes and the enabling outcomes, this is basically the response in line with those government priorities that talk to our mandate. So, and then again, we reiterate with regard to our vision in terms of the impact. So the outcomes that you will be seeing continuously in this presentation, Chair and Honorable Members, is the increased market share of and opportunities in the sport, cultural and creative industry. You'll be seeing that time and again, and I would not keep repeating it. I'm just wanting to emphasize it now. And then the second one is around a diverse, socially cohesive society with a common national identity. Over and above those priority outcomes are the enabling outcomes. Enabling outcomes, 3 of them, transformed, capable and professional sport, arts and culture sector, integrated and accessible sport, arts and culture infrastructure and information, and the compliant and responsive government. Let us then go into how we respond, Ludwig. Oh, okay, so, but before we do that, this particular slide, and I think one other or 2 more, this is depicting the sources of information that we utilize in structuring our programs, which are specifically aligned to outcome indicators. So you will see that the range of source outcomes will be perhaps the SACO, report, the Stats SA report, our own DSEC annual report, etc. Also, this particular slide also takes into account what the 5-year target that was set at the beginning of this term of this administration was, and how we are then expected to work against it. Next slide. So the same thing would apply here. Allow me not then to read. Let's go on. It's the same one. But perhaps also this also becomes important in terms of what we deemed to be enablers and what the baseline was in terms of that previous slide that I was looking at. You are moving a bit fast now, Ludwig. Let's just stop here, please. Okay, we are now going to indicate how the planning process went, Chairperson, that led to the APP that we have produced. That's the slide where you were, the next slide that shows the roadmap, Ludwig. This particular slide, Chair, again, without reading it, but we want to give assurance that we started our planning process quite timely. And several consultations were actually done, which gave all sections of the department, units in the department, an opportunity to interrogate, to do an analysis, be it a SWOT analysis, and do presentations to the whole management in the department up until we were satisfied that we really have tried our best to look at all informing factors that inform the department. This is inclusive of also the public entities, as you would see in this particular slide. We use our quality assurance units quite effectively as well in making sure that they assist us. That is the M&E, the risk unit, and the internal audit, so that the ultimate outcome has actually gone through that very rigorous process. Next slide. The next slide also is just giving you further specifics around the process that we undertook right up to the finalization of the APP. I will then move on, having taken you through the processes that we took and talked to you, honorable members, about the structure of the APP. Yes, the structure of the APP would take this format where we will talk to what are the acts, the bills, the regulations, the prescripts, internal treaties, policies and strategies, but also make reference to any relevant court findings that have had implications on the work that we are doing, particularly during this period. The next slide then is a list of the different pieces of legislation that are in place that informs our functioning. I want to quickly move on, Lodwick, because this is just listing, and I'm sure honorable members have seen that. But I would want to then emphasize on this particular slide, because this one talks to the different statuses of the bills, for instance, the National Sport and Recreation Amendment Bill, where is it at this point in time, looking at also the regulations that have been reviewed after the National Sport and Recreation Act was amended. So there are, I think, three different regulations as depicted here in this slide that will be reviewed in this financial year. If we go to the next slide, we then give indication of which policies are actually key, and we are taking the policies that we are taking forward in this particular financial year. It might not necessarily be policies that are new policies. Some of them are being reviewed as informed by recent developments. I want to just perhaps highlight, for instance, those policies under Program 2, also policies under Program 3. With policies under Program 3, Chairperson, those specifically are affected by the implementation of the revised white paper, which actually give specific actions in terms of the policies that need to be developed. And that is the work that started even in the last financial year and continues in this new financial year. But also because of the approval of the CCI Master Plan by Cabinet in August last year, there needs to be a move in terms of creation of an enabling environment or whatever it is that needed to be put in place as an intervention. Let us then move on to the next slide. We spoke about the issue of when we do our planning, we also cast our eye on the existing court rulings that affect the department. And in the process of doing that, we came up with this particular case within in terms of the department and SARA and the ruling, the three-year obligation that was put on the department for the funding of SARA's operational and programming costs. We indicate here that the current ruling on the SARA matter is that of the public protector, dated June 2017. In this ruling, the public protector outlined several remedial actions to be implemented by the department. These were further made into order of court by the High Court of South Africa on the 22nd of August 2018. Which instructed the department to implement the settlement agreement of April 2014 between the department and SARA, which obligated the department to fund SARA's proposals for renovation, operational and programming costs. And I need to indicate, Chairperson, that The department has met all these obligations, has implemented all as according to the obligations that were put on the department through the settlement agreement. Let's go on to the next slide. The next section will then talk to the analysis of the environment, situational analysis that we did, and the overview of human resources. And we will then also talk to the core project. Let's move on. This is a situational analysis which was looking externally in terms of a range of factors that we needed to take into account in terms of finalization of our plans. And we do want to indicate a person that our plan in terms of the actual performance indicators talk to and respond to these external factors as they emerged through the situational analysis. The next slide is talking to the internal factors that we also took into account in terms of our planning process. And again, they are highlighted in this particular slide. We will move on as members would be are able to see that. This slide gives an indication of how we are sitting in as far as human capacity is concerned. I think very recently we have had the members of the portfolio committee asking us questions around this particular aspect where we were reporting on the vacancy rate, disability, SMS, women, SMS vacancy rate, and the youth. Chairperson, we did give also indication here of the interventions that the department has implemented and the continued plans that begin to address and ensure that we drastically decrease the current vacancy rate as it sits. If we go on to the next slide, this is where we then go into the core project, Chairperson. Our approach in laying out this next section of the APP is in such a way that we took into account the five outcomes that I was referring to earlier on. Remember that there are priority outcomes, two of them, and then there are enabling outcomes, there are three of those. So this is now showing how we plan against those. So if we go on to that next slide. So the approach, and you'll see, Chair and members, that this is how the slides in this section are structured. We look at the government priority, which talks to our mandate. We look at the outcome that will then respond to that. And then we put down the interventions and then the output or the anticipated outputs. So this is how this, you will see how this is structured throughout. Just want to pick up one example, Chairperson. We talk about increasing a market share of job opportunities created in sport, cultural, and creative industry. If we take example number three, for instance, intervention number three, expansion in new and traditional creative industry markets, cultural diversity, and heritage. What you see at the bottom section of this slide will then be those programs as outputs. Market access programs, including film festivals, book fairs, where we take creatives so that we expand and increase that market share as the outcome says. International engagements and touring ventures, cultural diplomacy, or the cultural season. So that's the format that we are following. So without reading each and every one of them back to you, you will be able to pick up the format. Increase economic, if I can touch on the fourth one, increase economic participation by historically disadvantaged groups. And we do this through job creation programs, targeted procurement spends, and also assisted a lot by the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program, of which funding has been received for this financial year as well. If you go to the next slide, The next slide that we are going to talk to are talking about issues of job creation as highlighted in the previous slide. So here we are just making reference to the mapping study that informed our planning as put together by the South African Cultural Observatory, the research that was done by them that produced this mapping study. So if we immediately then go to that slide that talks to issues of job creation, Ludwig. So our approach here at Chairperson was to look at the department holistically and not just look at certain department, I mean branches or sections of the department in terms of expecting that they actually deliver against economic growth and creating jobs in South Africa. So you will see that if you look at the core projects, Program 2, Program 3, and Program 4, for instance, for the 2022-23 financial year that just finished, we indicate which programs we put in place or interventions we put in place and how many jobs were created through those projects, be it the legacy projects, be it the MIG, be it the MGE, the PESP, et cetera. So the same thing applies in the 23-24 financial year. This is what we are projecting, Chairperson, which is based on what the plans that we have put down in our APP around the sport and recreation bodies that would be supported to create jobs and how many jobs are projected to be created, conditional grants, legacy projects, public entities, MIG, outdoor gyms, when we construct outdoor gyms, MGE support, the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program that I was just referring to, and the Heritage Bursary Project graduates, and also the PESP that is also done through Program 4, which is HPP. So if we move on, we've really made sure that we focus a lot, Chairperson, on the issue of job creation. This other outcome, which is linked to social cohesion and safe communities, is a diverse, socially cohesive with a common national identity. Again, it's the same approach. If we look at, for instance, increased awareness of charter, of positive values and national symbols. What we put in place as an output, moral regeneration movement projects, the national symbols and the heraldry services. In the APP, Chairperson, this is where we then take each and every one of these outputs. And you will see that against each one, we are now putting numbers in the APP later on in this document, where we are saying this is the number of projects that we will do against this particular intervention that talks to this particular outcome and that talks to this particular government priority. Next slide. We bear emphasis here on our responsibility with regard to social cohesion. And we are saying, Chair, the department with its various partners and stakeholders are reviewing the social cohesion strategy to refocus efforts and improve the response to what the National Development Plan calls for. And we are also recognizing the fact that there is a worrying trust deficit trend. And we've also just very recently had a presentation where we were actually taken through based on the latest survey that was done, I believe by Brand SA, if I'm not mistaken, Didi Timandisa can correct me, that actually gave us an indication of a need for government in an integrated manner to have the social cohesion strategy. So I won't read through each of the determinants. Let's move on, Ludwig. This is a further emphasis, but here in this slide, we are giving an indication of what the department has done working with its sector departments and entities that fall under priority 6 that we are working with on the issues of social cohesion and nation building. We are giving indication of the numerous consultations that have taken place and giving in dates of when those have taken place. We are talking to different engagements, even to a level of the National Economic Development and Labour Council network that have actually taken place. And we are giving indication that at this stage, without the signing of the compact by relevant parties or provision of direction for the future as highlighted above, the project remains stuck. But there are continuous engagements that have been given and sought through the Social Protection and Community Development Cluster of Cabinet. Let's go on. Here, Chairperson, is where we talk about our MTSF indicators. When we started the current term of office in 2019, which finishes in this financial year 2023-2024, we started off with the indicators that are indicated in black, as you can see in this slide. However, there was a review that we did in the last financial year during our planning, which gave rise to new proposed targets for the next MTSF 2024 to 2029. So we're just giving indication here to the portfolio committee, which are those indicators: the number of organized sport and recreation community activities supported, the number of job opportunities for language practitioners, the number of initiatives implemented to raise awareness on the national symbols. This came about as a result of us looking at some of the indicators that needed to be consolidated, that because there could be, there was overlaps that were actually being identified, but also it came about as a recognition of a need for us to take one level up. For instance, the issue of number of job opportunities for language practitioners. PC members would be aware of the fact that we provide bursaries to language to students that are doing studying languages in higher education institutions. So the view is that going into the next MTSF, we actually move a level higher in terms of making sure that those language practitioners actually get secured possible job opportunities. And this is basically just that one example that I'm highlighting in terms of the proposals. Let's go to the next slide. This is the alignment again, Chair, with the Transform Capable and Professional Sport Arts and Culture Sector. It's one of the enabling outcomes out of the five outcomes that we are blaming against. And again, we have looked at what is the intervention that we needed to put in place. For instance, if you look at the one on capacity building in the sport arts and culture sector, the output there, which is in our APP, is where we are placing artists in schools, providing bursaries and capacity building projects through our cultural institutions, and supporting practitioners through the SAC academies, the sports academies, but also the cultural academies, COEs and incubators, induction of newly appointed public entity council members, and all the others. So I'm not going to again read all of them. They come out again under the programs when we talk to the programs. But these particular slides are important, Chairperson, because they show alignment. Let's go to the next slide. Did you move, Ludwig? Right, this is talking to issues of capacity building. In this slide, Chairperson, we are emphasizing the issues of skills and health, upskilling and transformation, and we are talking to these programs like the bursaries, the placements, the incubators, and other capacity building initiatives that actually respond to the issue and the need of capacity building across the different sectors in sport, in the creative industries, for instance, the challenge and the need to really begin to pivot to digital platforms in the 4IR. So there are programs that you will find in our APP that talk to this particular aspect, issues of giving practical skills through incubator programs and the like. So if we move on, Ludwig, that's a further alignment. This one also very important outcome because it talks about the integrated and accessible sport arts and culture infrastructure and information. If again I pick up one example, the Sport Arts and Culture, please go back, Sport Arts and Culture Infrastructure Program, the National Heritage Legacy Facilities that we built, the Resistance and Liberation Heritage Roots site that we actually manage, involves building, it involves renovation and improvement, sport infrastructure projects that are, that we built, outdoor gyms and play packs and play parks, libraries that we enable provinces to build through our conditional grants, statues, monuments and museums, theaters, refurbishment of community art centers. And what we are emphasizing here is that our focus in as far as all this infrastructure is concerned is especially on rural areas. Let's go on to the next slide. So this is further emphasis on infrastructure. We are talking to how government has emphasized on the role that the need for infrastructure, critical need for infrastructure in the country, depicted in the NDP, in the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. And we are talking to how, as a department, we have prioritized the resuscitation of the internal infrastructure community so that we make sure that we are monitoring the project and finalizing the implementation of the norms and standards framework. This is very important, Chairperson, this committee, because apart from just building that infrastructure, is the issue of maintenance and playing oversight then becomes quite critical. I think this is the last, if I'm not mistaken, outcome, compliant and responsive governance. And in this slide, again, following suit, we are talking about how we are actually doing that. I will pick up one example again, Chair, not to waste your time, talking to the issue of service delivery, how we are putting efforts in place and working towards being a compliant and responsive governance through valid invoices that are paid within 80 days, through our system modernized, to our service delivery improvement plan, citizen satisfaction index, call center system, South African geographical name system, security policy, preferential procurement plan, institutional disaster management plan, and even Izimbizo that we take to the communities so that the communities can also be able to engage and interact with us as a department. Next slide. This section of the slide, which is talking now, taking one program at a time, Chairperson, I will be very quick with this one because most of what I've said in the last two sections of the presentation is now being unpacked in this section, section C of the APP. If we then go there, Lodwick, it starts with program one, let's move. It starts with program one. We highlight here what program one covers: ministry management, strategic management and planning, corporate services, office of the CFO and office accommodation. That is what is covered by program one, which is called administration. And we also then highlight the key programs for 2022-23, which will be the entity reporting system, sport information management system, that is done by our IT section, the archive matrix system for the National Archive, DSEC awareness campaigns, the drafting of legislation, be it the review or new legislation, and the community and sectoral engagements that I referred to earlier on. The highlights are indicated there. Going into 23-24 would be for us to finalize the issues with regard to the merger of the two former departments and the making sure that we also improve our audit outcome in as far as looking at the last unqualified audit opinions and looking at the findings there and making sure there are no recurrences. Organizational review process underway. Macrostructure is in draft form. The issue of interns on the staff complement and the issue of payment of invoices, which we spoke about earlier on. Let's go on. These are the key programs under program one, governance oversight, in as far as making sure that they are fully constituted boards of public entities, Next line. The narrative there gives the detail. There are several campaigns that are run by this program, ranging from those that are educating the nation regarding the national symbols, right around the issue of Hulikane, Segwanele, It's Enough, pushing against the scourge of gender-based violence and femicide, I Am the Flag campaign, I Choose to be Active campaign. Let's go to the next slide. Here, Chairperson, I would then, this is where I was saying, this is where you then get your detail. And it moves from the audited performance from 2019-20, the estimated performance of 2022-23, which is yet to be audited. And then it gives you the figures in terms of the planning per performance indicator. So for each of the output indicators, percentage of interns, number of prioritized manual services, we have put the figures there that ensure that our performance indicators are measurable. Let's move on. We are moving on to program two, sports and recreation. This is the purpose. The main programs here are the Winning Nation, Active Nation, and the infrastructure support that falls under this branch. So if we move on and we look at the key priority areas, you will note that Chairperson, there is a hand. Should I stop here? Chairperson, can you please guide me? Should I stop?
Honorable Nshongo. Honorable Nshongo.
Morning, Chair. Morning, colleagues. Apology, Dr. Kumalo. But Chair, I was just for housekeeping. I see the time. I know it's a long program, the presentation. And you usually caution us to ask more questions, but the department, when they present, we take more time. Can maybe we request Dr. Kumalo just to speed up this? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nshongo. I did indicate, but first and foremost, the Dr. SUDC, she did inform us about the long presentation, which we have seen it. Maybe, Doc, as I was asking you to talk to it, but we are trying, but be real, because it's too long. And I'm suspecting the members, they did read this. Can you try your best to indicate and present thing as it presented? So in order that members, as they've been reading your presentations, they must then have a chance of noted issues that they've, when they've read the what do you call the presentation. Please try to be faster, but you must do justice.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try my best. I was trying to work towards ensuring that by 10 I'm done with the presentation. I'll try and pick up the pace. So this is program two. It talks to issues of national sports championships, provision of sport equipment, the Indigenous Games Festival, move on, Lodwick. It talks to athletes that are supported through scientific support programs, the EPG report on transformation in sport. Next slide. It talks to the district and provincial championships, tournaments, integration of sport, arts and culture plans through MOUs with the Department of Basic Education. It talks to the Sports Ambassador Program, which is deemed to be a very important program where we are utilizing the expertise and the skills of our legends. It talks to the Move for Health Commemoration Day, the Nelson Mandela Sport, Arts and Culture Day. I won't speak to the days now. Let's just move on. The Big Walk, the National Youth Camp. Let's move on. Colleagues can respond if there are questions later on. Okay, let me go past the days that become commemorated. The Ministerial Outreach Program, Atlas supported by the Provincial Sports and District Academies. I did mention this earlier on financial and non-financial support that is given to sport and recreation bodies. and the major sport events and intergovernmental support that we give as a department. Important also is the municipal infrastructure grant that ensures that the support that we see of sport facilities, especially in disadvantaged areas, construction of outdoor gyms. So let's move on, Ludwig. The issue of implementation of capital works project that is under infrastructure, and also the capital funding provision and support and monitoring to public entities. We will then move on to the this part. As I said, I won't read through it. I've already explained how it is structured. The one that is in orange is the one that will talk to the planning for this financial year as against each of the outputs or performance indicators. So I will move on then and not read this one and go to program three. So program three covers national language services, cultural and creative industries development, international cooperation, social cohesion and nation building, Zanzibarian economy, and the National Film and Video Foundation. Let's go on then. The highlights is the work that is being done by the social cohesion advocates, community conversation dialogues that give an opportunity to interact with community. Next slide. We look at the moral regeneration movement and the Africa Month that has just started and that is being launched in UNU, Eastern Cape today. The cultural seasons where there's an opportunity for artists to actually grow their networks and sell their wares when they participate in these cultural seasons. And those are the ones that are planned on that page. Terminology, coordination, human language technologies. That's the work that we do within the national language services that we provide. The CCID, Zanzibarian economy, have spoken to issues of job creation and creating enabling environment through access to international and local platforms, capacity building, projects that focus on youth. I'm going to emphasize this one a bit more later on, and the gender-based violence and homicide. So if you move to the next slide, this is the CCI master plan in an infographic slide, Chair, just highlighting the 90 action plans and how we are beginning to align them to our APP. Next slide. Again, the orange part shows what is planned for this financial year as against each of the output indicators. Let's move past that and go to program four. Program four is the Heritage Promotion and Preservation Unit. It covers heritage promotion, national archives, public libraries, and the work that is done by the South African Geographical Names Council falls under this unit. Highlights of the programs that they do and their planning have been planned to be delivered for 23-24 national symbols. You'll see numbers if you look at the other pages, geographical names, the plan to gazette, to publish three gazettes, conceptualize, equip, and operationalize legacy projects to transform the heritage landscape, the monitoring and implementation of the resistance and liberation route, records digitization becoming even more so in this day and age, the issues of building libraries, be it modular libraries, and providing access to information and infrastructure. Let's go on. Again, this is now quantified as against each and every performance indicator, showing for the past years and also showing. I'm going to just quickly, in the remaining minutes, about 4 minutes of my time, talk to the areas of emphasis, the last part of the presentation, targeted groups. The targeted groups, we started by looking at the issue of gender-based violence. And our approach, Chairperson, has been administration, program one, how are you responding to this? And this is what is shown in this particular slide. I would then not read through each one, but I'm emphasizing that there's a particular and a specific focus by the department on the program that responds and pushes against gender-based violence. So you'll see admin, next slide, you will see how sport is responding to this and what initiative our sport branch has put in place in as far as that is concerned. In the next slide, you will see how arts, culture, promotion and development have responded, what programs they have put in place in terms of responding to that and pushing back against the scourge. And then the next one, you will see heritage preservation and promotion. So all the units, all the branches rally around this, but using different approaches as informed by the work that they actually do. The next slide, Chair, we did the same with the youth. Programs that admin is responding with in as far as creating jobs and opportunities for the youth. The next one is sport. The next one is arts and culture. The next one is HPP. So again, the youth and interventions in as far as young people are concerned becomes a priority in the 23-24 and is depicted quite clearly as in this slide. The next one is also another priority group, which is women. Again, the same thing applies. Let's just move through, Ludwig. Programs from sport, programs from arts and culture and HPP, specifically targeting youth. This last one is people with disabilities. Again, the same approach we did, where we actually prioritize this in our planning. So we will move, Chairperson. I'm just going to take the latter part. These are the public entities that fall under the department. Go past that, Ludwig. I want to go to the standardized indicators and just quickly talk to those. Just go into the slide. This is how our indicators are clustered, Chairperson. For program one, there is 6, program two, there is 10, program three, there is 18, and program four, there is 10. That is what you will see in our APP, and we have made them measurable through those quantities that you saw there. Let's move to the next one. The next slide, Chairperson, next slide, please, Ludwig. The next slide are talking to the indicators. We just wanted to emphasize this quickly, Chairperson, that we are working on the issue of alignment. If you look at the next slide, Ludwig, please go to that one. We are showing here that we have engaged with our provincial departments so that our interventions in the sectors that we service have got an impact. The planning together and the alignment of our indicators then became very important. These are the 7 indicators that we have agreed with the provinces, provincial accounting officers, that they would also feature in their APPs. Talking to issues of impact, talking to issues of alignment. Let's go to the next slide. I'm finishing now. But the same thing applies to the public entities. These are the common and consolidated indicators. Again, in our drive to make sure that there's not duplication of what we are doing, but there is impact in terms of us not just stepping on each other's shoes, but working together towards a common goal. I think the last one will then be DDM. I won't talk to the DDM. Just go on, Ludwig. What we are showing here is that we have taken the district development model into account. We have made sure that there is a spread throughout the country of the projects that we are actually doing. And this particular slide shows that particular spread. I'm now going to hand over to the CFO, Chairperson. He's usually much faster than me, and I'm hoping he won't take more than 15 minutes of your time, Chairperson. I did try to finish at 10, but I think I missed out on a few minutes. Over to you, CFO, through the Chairperson.
No, thanks very much. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Minister. I'll be taking you through the budget for 23-24 financial year. Along that, it will be your budget per program, economic classification, MTF budget, and the conditional grants. Next slide. The budget for the coming financial year 23-24, under administration, we have a budget of 454 million. Under arts, culture and promotion development is 1.7 billion. and heritage and promotion and preservation is 2.6 billion. And under sports recreational development is 1.4 billion. On overall, the departmental budget is about 6.3 billion with an increase about 42 million. Next slide. And next slide. When you go to your economic class, so go back. Okay, economic classification under compensation of employees. Sorry, Ludwig, that slide. Your compensation of employees for the 23-24 financial year, the budget is 376 million, which is about 5% is within the treasury regulation. Goods and services, you've got 640 million. Next slide. And then you've got your bigger chunk of our budget that's sitting on the transfer payment, which is under your transfer and subsidy. You've got about 2.3 billion. That is for agency and account. That is about public entities and the federations. And the higher education is those bazaaries that we are talking about. And then provinces and municipalities is your conditional grant of sports and heritage. And then a public corporation and private enterprise is your MGE funding. Next slide. And then and then the payments of your capital asset under building and other fixed structure. You've got budget of 84 million. Sorry, Chair. Heritage asset, we've got budget of 183 million. Machinery and equipment, 8 million. Software and other intangible asset, about 5 million. And on overall, Chair, 6.3 billion. Next slide. This is the chart that demonstrates how the budget is spent. We are spending about the 80-20 model. 20%, which is 19.7, gets spent within the department, and then about 80% is spent outside the department, which is about 5 billion. Next slide. And then that is how the money has been allocated from outside. You've got province and municipality, which is about 34%, which is about 2.1 billion. That is on your conditional grant. And then you've got departmental agency, which is about 87%, is 2.3 billion, and that is your federation, your public entities, and the rest. That is the bulk of our money where it's going. Next slide. And then this is what is spent within the department, and then the biggest budget that is going out there is your goods and services at around 640 million, which is about 10%. And then the compensation of employees, like I said, is about 5%, is 376 million. And then software and other intangible is about 5 million, is 0.1%. Machinery and equipment also 0.1, is about 8 million. And then you've got heritage asset budget, which is infrastructure, which is 2.9, and building and other infrastructure with about 34 million, with 0.6%. Next slide. Then we'll zoom in on the earmark fund, money that we paid our sports federation under transfer payment is 117 million. And then we also have a special funding for the sports trust, which is about 25 million. And then left line also about 40 million. And then you have money that is earmarked for the support on the MGI in terms of infrastructure grant for the municipality that is managed by COCTA. That is the support there has been given about 7 million to able to do the oversight on those projects. Capital Works legacy project, which is heritage asset, is 243 million cross cut the goods and services capital asset and transfer. And then you also have a capital works infrastructure for our public entities. That is the money that is given to our public entities, 28 of them, is 151 million. And then you've got capital works legacy project about 15 million. And then you've got also earmark fund for South African Language Board at 123 million. Next slide. And then we've got MGE that support the businesses in terms of the arts and culture space. And then you also have a presidential stimulation package of 462 million. And then you've got National Film and Video Foundation that is also receiving 149 million. And then Community Libraries Service National, you've got 28 million allocated to them. And then Capital Works Infrastructure for Public Entities, or 144 million. Capital Works Upgrading of Public Space, Community Art Center and Incubators program is about 31 million. Next slide. Then we've got the two conditional grants, which is a mass participation grant, 603 million. As you can see there, Chair, the amount is too little. It need to be emphasized that we need more money to able to put a proper dent in the market in terms of sports support for provinces and federations. And then Community Library Service Grant, we've got 1.3 billion. And then Community Library Service Grant, we've got capital is 239 million. That is what go to the infrastructure. And then within the grant, you've got the composition of employees that was refinanced and approved by Treasury at 385 million. And that is the breakdown of your conditional grant on the community library per province. I'm not going to go through. And then it's also split into two, to say capital and current. And then a conditional grant on the sports, mass participation. And then those are also the allocation for province, 603. Chair. Thanks very much. That will be the end of the presentation.
Thank you so much, President and CFO. Honorable members, that's the end of the presentation from our department. I'm giving you time to deliberate in the presentations. I'm seeing Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Zondi, Honorable Malomane, Honorable Van Dijk, Honorable Adams, in that order, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I apologize now. I've got a load shedding. I won't be able to do my video, yes. But...
Yeah. Even myself, I do have load shedding.
Okay. Thank you, Chair and colleagues. Good morning, Minister. Chairperson, I wanted to find out, we welcome the presentation and welcome the initiative to start issues or program with the youth. And I don't see any allocation for the youth on the MTF. I don't see any earmark funding for the youth, but they've now changed that they are going to be specifically for the youth. And I'll tell you, this scholarship, they're not enough to do for the youth, or this internship, they're not enough. What other opportunities can we do for the youth, especially for the youth program that we are going to start with? And we need more to be done for the youth, especially as the department. And Chair, I wanted to find out, we welcome even anything that the minister does outside this, but I wanted to find out, the Zola 7 birthday batch, which was helped last time, on which program do we get it in? On which program do we get allocation or the funding from? Can I be specific? And then to say, tell us how much was spent for Zola 7 birthday batch. And I don't have a problem for the minister to celebrate any artist's birthday, but we must know on which program does it take and what specifically do you earmark this artist, not that artist. What mechanism do you use to identify an artist that you'll celebrate and spend money on the artist? And how much was spent on the day for Zola 7 birthday party? On the infrastructure, how far are we? Yes, there's a committee. I wanted to find out first the composition of the committee for the infrastructure, the monitoring and the evaluation purposes, because we tend to always blame the public department, which is Yaga. No, they've changed now. It's no more the new minister. I forgot the actual new minister. But the infrastructure, what committee, how many people are there, the composition thereof, and then how are they going to do MOE, the monitoring and evaluation, on the program we have like Osaka Batman, which is still outstanding to date? How are they going to do that with the planning? Regarding disability, both internal and external, can you share the numbers? How far are we and what are we doing and what percentage are we and with the numbers, so to say? EPG, this I think is directly to the new minister. Minister, I wanted to find out directly from you. Do you think EPG is working because it's only focused on a few sporting codes? And for us to address the imbalances of the past, we must focus on all sporting codes. For us to come with a new strategy, say transformation, serious transformation, we must not focus on 6-7 sporting codes. I'm concerned because I can put it to you, Minister, that this is not working, this so-called barometer, PEG. And I wanted to find out directly again to the Minister now. Last time you promised us, how far are we with the appointment of the Director General and then internal controls and compliance? Because these are highly vacancies which must push. How far are we? Give us a turnaround time. When are we going to get a DG in the department? And lastly, Chair, I'm concerned, Chair, why sports allocation is less than heritage and arts? Always that. We don't take sports seriously. They get less allocation. What causes that? Can maybe they convince me? Because I think there must be balances. What do you do on your left, you do it on your right. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mshong. Honorable Sondi.
Thank you, Chair. Giving a letter, Chair. Chair. Siyasemukela lesethulo se-budget yalonyaka siyafisa ukusho ukuthi uma siphakamisa ukukhathazeka kwethu endaweni ezithile akusho ukuthi asisemukeli nemibuzo ke masiyiphakamisa siyibuza sibuza ngoba sifuna ingcaciso Chair, the budget is well balanced as far as I understand it. Disability, youth, old age programs, infrastructure, a revised white paper. Just highlight what I was concerned about in the last financial year budget, which we raised with the Honorable Mthethwa. But two areas, Chair, that I would like to highlight in Kinte Wamangan that the Minister has talked about recently outside the meeting of the Portfolio Committee through the stakeholders' engagement with the Minister directly. The first one is the school sports, which we have been advocating. It is covered, and also the rural sport development. That we said we wanted a larger chunk on the roller sports. Those are the two areas that I would like to say. The budget is well balanced. However, Chair, I have a few questions, in fact three, and two concerns. The first question, Chair, what mass participation events specifically target rural sports development? If none, does the department plan to introduce or reintroduce, because it was there before, to reintroduce an event of this nature? That is the first question, Chair. Then the second one, Chair, is with regard to the court ruling. We want the department to give us an update on the 3-year application for the funding of SARA operational and programming costs. In terms of Nyango, a touch on the matter to say, in fact, she said they have responded or they have responded to the demands on their side as the department. I would like to know what was the response on the other part, because if we were in Kandolo, Chair, there are two sides about in Kandolo. Actually, so I just want the response from the other side, as Mr. Omyango indicated that they have responded as a department. Just an update on that. And the last one, Chair, is with regard to the progress of the refurbishment of the community art centers in rural areas, and what are outdoor parks and play parks in the rural communities being considered, as well in big open fields, particularly in rural and township areas. Those are the three questions, Chair, that I would like to pose to the department. But the last issue, Chair, that I would like to raise as a concern, not as a question, is on program two with regards to the target versus interest participants on school sports. The assumption that it might be a low a participant against the target of the department of 5,000 participants. The assumption that it might, because of some of the challenges within the provinces, it's a concern, because the target, we want to maintain the target and also to add more. To the minister, I once said to him, we can triple, even we have a capacity to triple that number because of the speed he's applying to this school sport program.
Thank you, Honorable Malomane.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Can I switch off my video, please, because of the issues of network?
Yes, please.
Greetings to everyone. Let me also join in welcoming the presentation of the departmental APP for the financial year. Let me shoot straight to my question. My question, the first question to the department, I just want to check that, is the department making it a priority to advance the National Charter for Women and Sports South Africa to ensure sports stakeholders mainstream gender in their programs and support the sector to develop women's sport and strengthen its ecosystem from a grassroots level to mainstream the issue of sports? The other one, it will be based on the issue as well coming from the COVID-19. Post-COVID-19 pandemic, it has been essential that health is of priority in every aspect of our lives, especially in sport. What is the transformation that has taken place to ensure that sports equipment and infrastructure are well taken care of and are regularly cleaned and maintained? The other matter is will be that what are the cost per mass participation event, especially in the last financial year, what have been the cost per participant in each of these events? The last one, it will be the Active Nation sub-program received 731.4 million of 50.5% of the total budget program. How can the department work better with the private sector, which is already and perhaps better suited to provide these programs? The potential savings could be redirected to more pressing issues such as the implementation and support of the infrastructure program. Oh, Chair, sorry, there's another one. The National Arts Council, it's about the projected allocations of National Arts Council, which is 180, the NVF allocation. I just want to find out on the implementing agencies of the PEST 4 that based on those allocation of the project, what percentage per agency will be set aside for the administration of this PEST 4? That's my question, based on their project allocation. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson.
Chairperson?
Excuse me, members, since we have lost the chairperson, can the next member go on for the meantime whilst I try to get hold of him?
Thank you. I'll just put off the video. Morning all, and thank you for the presentation. My questions are as follow. Page 24 on the APP, under human resources, the vacancy rate that is reflected there, can that 20.11, if you can maybe explain that for me. Page 56 and 57, the stats performance of athletes, if that can be explained, was that not during COVID period? So if we can, I can just get clarity on that. Page 83 refers to GBV projects. I want to know what support is given to athletes that has been abused. And also if you can maybe deliberate on what Love Life has done in the past, has done, because in the past, the presentation to the portfolio committee, I don't think in general we were very much impressed with that. And we actually questioned the funding allocation. Not only them, also the Sport for Social Change Network. I want to know how do they communicate or the work that they've done to the budget allocation that they receive. I saw that Love Life is receiving 40 million, but I didn't pick up what the other entity, their allocation is. Point three on page 83 with regards to the safeguarding policy. Who will the stakeholders be with that the department will be working with? And I also want to know when this process will be starting. I know at this stage, SASCOC has appointed the guardian without any tender. There was no tender put out. And I also asked questions on this, but I've never received any feedback from SASCOC's side. So I'm very glad that there's that the department will be working on a policy in this regard. But if we can just get more info on that, that would be wonderful. The SILAPA wellness program that was established in 2022. I'm just curious to know how do the athletes find it and does it reach in all provinces? And also what money allocation do they receive? And just how the athletes in general have benefited from this program. Then page 86 is the Sarki Bartman exhibition. We see the intent of programs that will be run from here or from there. But I want to know when it will be open or is it already operational? When will these projects or programs start? Page 88 just it reflects on school sport, and I just want to say it says 100% are youth, and I would just want to say that I would wish that it would be youth when we speak of school sport. Then page 113, district development projects, what type of projects are referred to? 116, recreation development and sport promotion. It's down with almost 1,200,000. Why has it been reduced? And on page 120, the heritage assets, also payment for capital assets, these amounts, if you can maybe explain the increase. Then on page 125 and 26, capital works on both slides are reflected on as an allocation. Why is that? Then 129, I'm almost done. The conditional grant that for mass participation and sport development grant, why is it the lowest grant is going to the Northern Cape, which is the biggest province? There's a lot of vast traveling, and this is really a disadvantage to sport development, if you can explain that. Then I want to know, under what is the Mzansi National Philharmonic Orchestra funded? My last two questions. Can the department provide the committee with an overview of the job opportunities created in its various programs and projects? And also, if we can have an update of the ongoing investigations and the financial and service delivery implications that this has or has for the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable. Thank you, Honourable. I want to check whether my mic is on. Thank you, Honourable Fundy. The next Honourable Member is Honourable Adams.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to all on the platform, and let me also join to welcome the presentation. Chairperson, my questions on Program 1, the filling of the vacancy of Director General should be expedited to ensure leadership stability. It is encouraging, Chairperson, to note that the department will continue enrolling unemployment graduates as interns against youth and targets to have 50% female representative. And then what has been the success rate of attracting disabled youth to this internship program, as the department notes that the target for people with disabilities is dependent on the applications received? And then, Chairperson, government priorities is to improve economic transformation and job creation. What exactly has been the intervention to increase economic participation for the historical disadvantage for the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program and other departmental programs? What are the support output to improve the promotion of diverse creative industries and cultural diversity? My last question, Chairperson, is what impact will the department program have for creative artists through the department's funds and funds mobilized for various social partners? I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. Honorable Sibiya.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. Good morning to everyone. Thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, regarding with social cohesion, the social cohesion and nation building and combat is important for peace and stability. As we, it must noted that we are coming from a month which remind us with the gains of our democratic government. My question is, why is it that there is so much delay in the signing of the compact while it has held numerous consultations? And the other one, what are the foreseen implications from the department in that delay? The last one, the buildings and other fixed structures, as well as structure, as well as software and other intangible assets for 2022 and 2023 has no figures projected. Why is it that so? Is it because nothing has been done in this regard that they cannot be provided to us? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sibiya. Honorable Matlingo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ngicela nje ukuziveza. Hey, manje ngibona kana.
Awuyabonaka.
All right, ngicela ubaleke.
Okay, baleke.
Chairperson, first of all, let me welcome Honorable Zondi For the bereavement, and I know that you have now an angel who knows you by name. I would love to say good morning to the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, the Ministry, the Portfolio Committee, honorable members, and all visitors. Chairperson, I must say that the presentation looks good and promising on paper. Nevertheless, it doesn't reflect such to the receiving end of the poor black child that is on the streets of South Africa. The fact that Mr. Fredinia Taylor was never given a platform to voice his contradictory opinion, that the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, together with National Arts Council and Public Protector, is indicative of the unbalanced and non-transparency of these organizations. Chairperson, how can there be a development in our sector which is overwhelmed by young black kids when programs that are initiated by SARA, which are aimed at creating educational and skill development to these young kids, are not supported by organizations which are supposed to inject money to such projects as SARA is doing? When National Arts Lottery chairperson declining funding for SARA to create school that will empower kids to the knowledge of visual and sound development, the school that the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture helped to create and rebuild, what is the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture saying about it, that decline? I mean, SARA is part of the solution that the department is talking about, and the cultural, and the youth development. Chairperson, Mr. Minister, it is clear that South Africa is following on the footprints of Europe in terms of using terms of reference for the creating of creative ambassadors. Sorry about that. These creative ambassadors are not original from South Africa, Chairperson. They are a European concept. Chairperson, my question is, which policies within the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture are these creative ambassadors based on? What criteria has the department used in appointing these ambassadors? Chairperson Diable.
Thank you, Honorable Masingo Sehuler. Honorable Dennis. Honorable Dennis.
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll just switch my camera off. I would like to welcome the presentation and all the hard work that has gone into it. It's quite a task. I noted going through the presentation of all the hard work that was done by all the divisions within the department. Chairperson, I want to start off with a mandate, and it is said within the mandate that the department must provide leadership. And I noted in the slide further down with the funded vacant post, the department have dealt with that in the previous meeting, but how all the vacancies advertised is dealing with that, Chairperson, because we need leaders to provide leadership, if I can speak to the mandate. That's what I wanted to say. If there are vacancies, as the other member said, at a high senior level, then it's difficult to provide leadership if that vacancies are not filled by the same leaders that we are looking for. Chairperson, I want to comment just on slide 13 about the people with disabilities. And I think this is a national challenge that has been coming on for years, that we are not meeting the targets, particularly at senior level, particularly for women or disabled people. And I note the five-year target, but I hope that we, before the end of the term, will be able to at least reach that target. Chairperson, I wanted to just, in terms of the public, slide 14, public opinion on on racial relations, want to ask why we're only dealing with 2018-2019 stats and not having a more updated stats to see how we can enhance cohesive society. Chairperson, I want to comment on the on slide 20 on SARA and SA Roadies Association. I note the court settlement and that the department indicated that all agreements of 2014 was implemented and all the obligations was met. Despite what the other members are saying, I think we are staying within our lane in terms of our mandate and the responsibilities of this committee. So I'm pleased that to say that the department has given us a full report on SARA. Chairperson, I wanted just to speak on slide 26. 27, 28 on the jobs. Very encouraging to see the target of the 1 million jobs of 6%. But I want to know if the jobs is direct or indirect. The peers is mostly from outside the department. In the graphs indicate that most of the money will go outside. I expect that most of the jobs will come from outside. I also want to support the member who have asked about the compact. And I want to know also why is this compact not signed? What is the benefit for us in having the compact? And why is it that the other clusters can't understand the benefit of signing this compact? It's not for me in that in the slides. Chairperson, I want to also make a comment on slide 32, and I note the good basis that the department, the strategic framework is planned. And the investment that goes into organized sports and recreation. But I want to ask to get more community involved. We maybe have a problem with fees and application in the process. So my concern is the affordability to get more community people involved in the structure of sports, not just social sports that people are playing for entertainment, but there are good talents that must come through. But maybe the affordability and the structures or redemption maybe is important, or Afrikaans say quite skeldom, you know, from fees. Chairperson, I just want clarity on program one, slide 40. It indicates the minister and the deputy minister's salaries. I think it seems to be part of the administration. I always thought the executive expenses are kept separate from the department. Chairperson, I would like to just to go to ask also on the Nelson Mandela Sports Arts and Cultural Day, any information? I assume it's in the Eastern Cape, that big run, but if there's more information, I would like to have that, or any other events related to the Nelson Mandela Sports Arts and Culture Day, and also on the Andrew Sulang Malangeni Golf Day. I also would like to know if I can get more information. And then there was a golfer that has beaten Gary Player. Gary Player was named the, I think, sportsman of the decade of the century, I'm not sure. But there was Papas, I think was his name, that beaten Gary Player. And I would like the department just to make sure that those names also come through in acknowledgement of previously disadvantaged people have done and achieved but not been recognized at the time. Chairperson, I would like the department just to also just brief us again or give us a report on the technical management support to municipalities on the MIG funding, just to update us if there's any changes of the previous municipalities mentioned. And then I want to support the question on the capital works program, Dube Amphitheater in KZN and Sarah Bartman. My question on Sarah Bartman is, I know there's been a joint committee between Public Works and the department, and I wanted to know what is the planned cost to complete this project and support the members in questioning when it will finish, is it open or when it will open, and what is the time frame of that project. And then I also want to ask how communities and organizations can be involved in identifying cultural and heritage legacy programs. I think that's still attached to slide 55. Chairperson, I'm not sure what the, I can't recall the date specifically. I remember the three gazettes published on the geographical names. If I can just get that information to follow up on myself. And then the planning workshops that for the national symbols, just to get that in, I think it's like 76 on that information, if it's possible. And then in closing, Chairperson, I would like to just start 77, appreciate the work that Robben Island Museum is doing, but I would like to have more information on the recognition of the resistance and liberation heritage roots. There's other families like Afrikaner families, Dieman family, who are on the island and were part of that resistance movement. And I think we need to hear more about that. On slide 118 to 122, acknowledge the budget summary. But I just want to ask on slide 123, the goods and services indicators 10%. But if I look at the slide, then the coloring doesn't reflect on 10%. It appears one slide should reflect almost 50%. So I just want them to explain that that graph for us, please, on slide 123. And then the last, I saw Sarah Bartman on the questions. I assume it's 243 million on slide 125. I just want to confirm if that is so, that money will go to Sarah Bartman Memorial Center. And then my last question, Chairperson, on slide 126, National Library Cape Town. On the National Library Cape Town, I want to know, I've been there a few years ago, I think the committee was also there, when the roof was leaking and there were no uses of that top floor, and I want to know if that's been fixed and if that 28 million is going to, that's going to the National Library Cape Town will include that infrastructure repairs, or whether it's gone to other money. But I once again want to thank the department for the preparation and the presentation, and also the other role players who give input for our committee work. I want to appreciate that, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Dennis. I don't have much questions, but I would love to thank the department about the presentation, and I've noticed that in some of questions that you were supposed to ask, which some of those questions were rising from AG, the majority of those, the indication, it is there in our slides. So I rather not now follow and ask that. But I want to say Happy Africa Day, or Happy Africa Month. Thank you, Acting DG, to remind us. When we talk about skills and health and the skills capacity, I wanted to check that should not the department then do the same in terms of new indicators for the next MTSF for the heritage bursaries. We do appreciate what that slide was saying to us. But also, I've listened carefully and I've read the increase of 42 million. I wanted to check, is it possible that now the white paper is going to be included, as the treasurer indicated, that now the department must budget for that. I'm suspecting is this committee outgoing coming elections would love to see that the white paper must be implemented. I'm suspecting all other problems that we are having, especially when we talk of our arts and culture, we know why we propose that we must amend and we must have a white paper. Would love that
it must be fast track that we must see it going on. And then also in some of your slides, you talk about and the huge budget in the grants for municipalities. As this committee members, I'm suspecting that until today, we don't know what we can propose that huge as it is, that budget. But the problem of infrastructure, whilst this department is taking a lot, giving municipalities, but as we're sitting here, we know how the infrastructure in all municipalities. I wish that we can have another round of calling all relevant stakeholders in order that we must again emphasize that let's ring fence and but also the monitoring of these huge amounts that we are giving to our the local government. Whilst I'm still in the infrastructure, I would love to pose a question. How far is Robben Island conditions? As this committee, we took an oversight and visited the Robben Island. It was appalling to see that that infrastructure, which the departments have a stake and bite, and the outstanding issues which were there, it was about the public works. I would love to check how is it now. I'm not sure whether we are late through the program of parliament that is changing, as well our honourable members. I wish that we can visit, because I'm sharing this. One chairperson of Public Works did tell me as individual member of parliament, saying that all is not yet well. I'm asking this question. Are you doing an oversight? Can you give us what is going on in Robben Island? The one question I'm suspecting is the last one. The arts, culture, promotion and development, it's focusing for 1.7 million, and there are decreases to more or else the amount of 3/4 of it. Why is it that this budget planning for the program extremely increases then ultimately will decrease to what 2022-23? More or less hard. With these questions, we are saying that we are happy about what you are, the department coming and the transparency of the work that you are giving us. In those words, let me take it back to the department, Honorable Minister, and Acting DG. You will just give the entirety the slots to respond. The leader of the delegation, Honorable Minister Zigodo.
Thank you very much, I'm not sure about the echo.
Video. Okay, try again. You're in a wrong place, Honorable Minister. Yes,
I think maybe the other gadget must have come. The minister here would not have two gadgets.
I
I'll switch off and join you in another culture exchange.
I was trying to give him a chance to say something because he asked to be released at 11 o'clock. We left with 8 minutes, if not whatever. But he is struggling. The load shedding, that's why on the 19th we called a physical. We wanted to have all our meetings on physical attendance, but couldn't get a slot. Honorable Minister, Weba Butlamini Zizi Kodwa.
I'm trying to tell them, I'm trying to tell them to accept me and use another touch of chair.
Sakala Makalong. I'm a wele.
He has just arrived.
I'm strong. Honorable members, it's not only the minister who's having a problem. The load shedding started at 10, and today I had to move even before. I'm still, hey, there he is. I'll fool a number.
I can hear you now, Minister.
You are better. You are better.
Okay. No, thank you very much for allowing me the opportunity just before I leave. For, as you know, we're preparing for the debate this afternoon. Firstly, just to say thank you to members for the overwhelming positive commentary on the both the APP as well as some comments in relation to the budget. Thank you very much for those comments. But it's just a few things that perhaps may need a response from my side. The first one, which was raised by Honorable Madlingo, was in relation to the ambassadors. When I came in, they were sports ambassadors, which was the discretion of the minister to appoint sports ambassadors. I realized that perhaps it was only one side of the department. We should as well have ambassadors for creatives. We could as well have ambassadors for goodwill, as the same way you have social advocates for social cohesion and so on. These are the people, eminent South Africans, who in their own right have played very important role, either in sports, in arts, and so on, and therefore their role. Although the department, I've asked the department to develop a conceptual framework which will talk to the issues that Honorable Martin was raising. But these are individuals who are known, who would amplify the policies and the vision of the department on issues of nation building, on issues of social cohesion. I've already identified few in the creative space who in the past, like I said, they were that I found who were in the sporting fraternity. So it's a quite an important program, I must say, if you look at the role that they continue to play. The second one, with regards to, maybe I should just start by making this point, Honorable Chairperson. The budget given to the department is not enough. And I appreciate the point by Honorable Zond Nonda about the budget is well balanced. It's a very delicate and a difficult balance to make in a budget as small in the department if you look at against its broad expected mandate and the challenges that are facing us at the moment. If we were to locate the role of department, sports, arts and culture in the context of the society and the country and the nation's equipment, I don't think it has been elevated, including the budget, to meet the challenges. One of the discussions we have had, certainly I have had with the president, is a possibility that we must have a discussion about, firstly, what is the role defined and what is an expected role of the department and what budget? As you know, that this the cluster itself does not sit in the MINPAC, which is a ministerial budget committee, which decides about allocation of budget, which is quite unfortunate. Given the fact that in the social cohesion and the nation building and the country was still building, this department is at the center, is like a heartbeat of that country, but unfortunately is not fitting at the at the high echelons that decides about budget allocation. We have raised those issues. If you look at, for an example, just the issue of sport, Honorable Zondi raised the issue about rural sport and so on. It's a huge challenge in South Africa, and the issue about rural sport, infrastructure in particular. You need a huge budget for that. It's a historical factor that you must address. When we talk about redress, these are the issues you can't address just by making statements. If you look at the rural sport infrastructure in the rural area of Kwamsinga and everywhere else, they'll need a budget. The issue about the filling of vacant posts, particularly of the DG, is very at an advanced stage. A work has been done. We're just waiting now for, if you like, a minute which must come from the presidency. We've already engaged with the Minister of Public Administration. Enough work has been done by the department from a corporate service point of view. We should have, if I'm correct, we should have the advert out by end of this week, or this coming weekend should be out of the Director General. We appreciate the agency, as well as we appreciate the commentary of the agency from the department. Unjomani asked something about the birthday of somebody else and so on. In Germany, we don't organize birthdays. What we do organize is stakeholder engagement. However, if anybody in Germany, including yourself or any member of parliament or any prominent person who may invite me as a ZZ, not as a minister or on behalf of the department's schedule, I will attend, and I do attend many. So what we had was an engagement of stakeholders. And in that engagement of stakeholders, there was somebody who was not necessarily being organized a birthday that we need. I joined to celebrate him parallel to the meeting of stakeholders. So there is no government department that has got an item called birthdays. In the same way, there is no government program that is called creative ambassadors. I just thought I should explain those issues. There was an issue raised. The issue about EPGs. EPGs are quite important. I don't think we must undermine their work. You must remember when we started with regards to transformation targets. Earlier in the years, we spoke about targets and transformation and so on, and they were abused to the maximum. And we decided to move away from quotas at that time, because some of these quotas limited the potential and excellence of certain national crops. So the issue about targets, I think the scope can be expanded, I agree, but I will be meeting with SASCOC soon, because I think those sporting codes or national federations and so on who are not meeting targets, there must be punishment to encourage them, including those who are doing well. There must be incentives, because I think there is a movement on some of the sporting codes. But EPG for me, I think is very important. What we need to do, where there are gaps and weaknesses, we need to look at, but make sure that with my view, like I said in the last meeting, honorable members, 29 years into our democracy, in 2023, one of the things I don't think we should be discussing about is transformation. I think it's non-negotiable. We must find a way, and therefore those who are not implementing the targets, there must be a punishment of one way or another. Those who are doing well, there must be some way in which we incentivize and encourage them. I just want to just respond to those issues. The last one is the issue raised by yourself, Chairperson, in relation to Robben Island and so on. What we have found, Chair, and we're beginning to get these reports, is the state of some of our heritage sites, which some of them are quite derelict, whether talking about art centers and communities and so on. It's quite a worrying factor. Next week, as part of our budget vote program, we'll be visiting Robben Island. We've been getting a lot of reports with the Minister of Public Works, officials from our side, both sides, and see what best can be done. There are a number of proposals we have in mind in terms of investment, in terms of sustainability of that heritage site, which is quite important in our liberation history. We are concerned. We will be making our visit. We will make our visit known to the committee about what we think should be done immediately to restore
that heritage site to its glory days. Thank you very much, Jefferson. If I leave anything, I will ask the department to respond to. But thanks for the opportunity and allow me to leave just to prepare for the vote, for, debate this afternoon.
We are releasing you, Honorable Minister. Thank you that out of your busy schedule, you must also try to have few minutes and hours with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Acting DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you also to Minister. Thank you to the members for quite a number of questions and comments that we have received.
With due respect, Honorable Members, and to you, Acting DG, there's that 117 billion who is given to Sports Federation. I've forgotten to ask that, how do you monitor that federations are do a good sharing, especially in the women's sport? I can't mention all the women's sport, but you have a tennis, you have a netball, you have a rugby. And I'm not sure, it's not about you who must tell what must they do. But if we are giving such a huge amount, would love to give you this task, that would love that you must monitor, because these federations, others are very progressive. They've been there having sponsorship, but about this, about the three women's sport that I've mentioned, would love that. I'm not sure whether we have a right to tell them what to do. I'm raising that. I've seen this 117 billion. I'm sorry, Honorable Members, to do that. Thank you, Acting DG.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was then saying maybe to try and make sure that we deal with all the questions, I would go per program. So starting with DDG Mandisa Chikwatamba, on all questions that were related to program one, DDG, can I allow you? And then I'll go to you, DDG Khan, in terms of the sports, and we'll move on just like that, going to the other programs. DDG Chikwatamba first, through you, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thanks, ADG. Good morning, Chairperson and all honorable members. I'm just showing myself for a moment. I'm switching off now.
Africa Month, thank you.
Alala, okay. Alala. Thanks, Chairperson. The first question is on disabilities, to say how many. The number is 15 people, and of course the percentage currently is a percentage of about 2.6. But the number of people, it's 15 people. Later on, a question was asked, which is relating to this, which was specific on interns. And I can report that with the number of interns, that we have 30 interns at the moment. At one stage, we had doubled up that number. We only, when 2021-22, we had only one intern with disability. At the moment, we don't have any intern with a disability. Not that we don't try. For example, now we are trying to work with the organizations, having realized this gap of people with disabilities. And we are also trying to see if the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities cannot assist us in our processes when we are recruiting. Maybe we can use some databases from them. A discussion we've recently held is a discussion that says maybe to ease what we call targeted recruitment when it comes to, especially for interns, at least can be more practical than when we are recruiting permanent employees. Perhaps we may need to get into MOA with some of these organizations and the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. So the number of all that give the percent is 15. I don't know if I need to give a breakdown the levels, but I'll skip that unless it's specifically asked for. And then the other question was a question that was requesting us to explain the statistics that was at the corner there on that slide, I think slide 24. Those are the averages that we've had as we were working as of 1 April to say what's our baseline as we are starting with this plan, averaging the periods before. I did report that in the last quarters of the year, we last recorded about 19% of vacancy rate. So if we take the whole period, of course, that is close to where we had started in terms of 20% in the period of since when we were established. So we roll back to the 20% in terms of these averages. And then the next question, I think Minister has responded to it, which was on the filling of the position for the DG, so I won't go to that. A link to this, pardon me, I did not get very well what was specific in the question on slide 40. The question sounded like salaries of the ministries. Why are they kept?
Mandisa. You must be aware that we don't have enough time. That's what we've done even to acting DG. Try not to relax. Try to be faster because and each and every program has got so much questions. So you are a bit relaxing. Please try to be faster.
Thanks, yes. Ma'am. Then the last one, having said that one, maybe we'll come back to it, was on social cohesion. The delays on the signing of the compact are delays, firstly, delays that come from NEDLAC not following our process as government, because to NEDLAC, a number of compacts come to be presented or an intention to come to present them. It's tabled. At this point of us submitting the compact to NEDLAC, there was as well the economic compact, and NEDLAC thought now the social compact is replaced by this economic compact. There was as well another process that was being developed by Department of Social Development that was also speaking to the compact. So in summary, Chairperson, there was a decision that says, let us go back and just try and consolidate as government and come back to NEDLAC. So we are going through that process as DG was also speaking to us, working on this through the cluster. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy.
Then the person program 2 will be taken by DDG Khan. Thanks, Mandisa.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members, and good morning, ADG and colleagues. Chairperson, I'm going to answer as many of the questions as possible quickly. I do have the chief directors who can give you the technical details as well for some of them. So I'll quickly respond to some of the questions and then also pass on to the chief directors of the relevant units who will then respond to some of the very specific questions. Let me start off firstly, Chairperson, with a question asked by the Chairperson around the 117 million. It's 117 million, not billion, Chairperson, that we have allocated to the sports federations. It is 117 million may look like a lot of money, but we actually have to spread it to 60 sports federations. So there is a finance and non-financial framework that we have, and we also have an allocation in terms of various categories of sports codes that we allocate the funding for. How do we monitor women's sports? Some of them are very progressive. Chairperson, you will know that there are specific codes of sports where we only allocate funding to women, which is rugby, cricket, and also football. And we have seen that, you know, our approach to the codes like football, we started with football, where Banyana Banyana was given allocation for women's football in general. But there was a specific allocation towards Banyana Banyana because they were doing so well. And we believed that we needed to start this process of professionalizing a women's league. And hence we invested in them, where we gave them over 3 years, 5 million rands towards the establishment of the National Football League. And that investment actually benefited them so that they now got a sponsor for that league. And you can see that, you know, that investment is actually reaping the benefits. The same chairperson, we've given cricket, only the women's cricket team. The women's cricket has been getting funding from us and school sport. So that investment has now seen the women's pro tiers. Cricket themselves have invested in them as well in terms of giving them contracts. And they've also now, I mean, look at their successes in the Women's World Cup. And further to the World Cup, we're now investing in them to get that professional league going in the next 3 years. So we have made an investment in that. Rugby, the same thing is happening to the extent now for the first time, the Blue Bulls are going to announce tonight their professional women's league, you know, contracts being awarded to about 35 young women. In our school sport program, we have more young girls participating. How do we monitor them? As I indicated, Madam Chair, we have a framework. We have an SLA that we sign with them. On a quarterly basis, they give us their reports. We actually attend their events so that we can see what's happening at the events. We attend their governance meetings, and we have one-on-one interactions with them where there are challenges in many of the codes of sport. Without interfering, we actually get in there and support them to actually ensure that those challenges that they have, we try and address them as well. Madam Chair, the issue of the, I think the Minister has spoken about the EPG, the issue of the school sport and the number of participants. I think, Madam Chair, we must be, and as the Minister says, our budget is very limited. We are doing much of the school sport interventions through our conditional grant in the provinces. If you look at the district, the participation in school sports championships at a district level, we actually exceed our targets. At the national level, yes, it's a bigger event and we can only cater for 5,000 schools because of the cost of running major national events. So within the budget, that's how much we can cater for. But we are looking at, we have been approached by some of the private sector. We are in discussions with them to see how they can assist with the school sport program. With regard to the rural sports development program raised by Honorable Zondi, yes, indeed, the rural sports program, when we started it, and I think the objective was actually for us to look at, you know, reviving sport and unearthing the talent in rural areas. And the special focus was on areas that are under the traditional authorities and the farming communities. Madam Chair, in the first year, I think we ran the program in all the provinces looking at two traditional councils, and it culminated in a National Rural Sports Development Festival. In the years that ensued, we believe that, you know, we had to now look at it at the provincial level so that we spread and we get more traditional councils involved. So that program still continues in the rural areas. But for this financial year, our focus is going to be rural sports development so that we address the issues. We have a relationship, and we've put into our MOU with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs the development of the Rural Sports Development Program. We've also asked provinces in terms of the evaluation report for the conditional grant this year that they must indicate to us all of the efforts that have been done in the rural sports development, so to inform the work that we're going to do going forward with the Rural Sports Development Program. And yes, the Rural Sports Development Program also falls within the Club Development Program, so that as we develop rural sport, we make sure that we also look at forming or moving towards an organized formation of clubs that will then be affiliated to the national federations. So that's the pathway we're looking at in terms of the Rural Sports Development Program. The other area of advancing the National Charter for Women's Sport and the ecosystem raised by Honorable Malumani. Yes, Madam Chair, I can indicate that we have now gazetted the draft policy for women in sport for public comments. As I've indicated, there are dedicated codes of sport that focus where we're only providing funding for women's sport. There's also within the federation support that we are based on the transformation charter and the dimensions, there's focus on equity. The school sport program is highly focused on ensuring that there are codes of sport for both girls and boys. And historically, Madam Chair, there are more girls that have been participating in the school sport program than boys. Our focus now with the Netball World Cup, there are many legacy projects that are involved, whereas in our multi-purpose sports courts that are being provided as part of the legacy of the Netball World Cup, there's two courts that are being built in those identified schools, and one is specifically for netball, because we realize in the multi-purpose sports courts, there are too many codes of sport, and you find the girl child being left behind, and hence as the legacy of the Netball World Cup, there's a dedicated sports court for netball and for girls. With regard to safeguarding policy, yes, we put it deliberately into our own area of work, chairperson, as raised by Mam Van Dyke, because of the fact that it is our initiative and efforts in terms of GBV. We know that there's a lot of initiatives that we do that speaks to advocacy around GBV and IF. But for us, we also believe that there needs to be policy issues, and the safeguarding issues within the sports sector speaks to the issues of GBV, and hence we've taken the initiative. But knowing, Chairperson, that our stakeholders come under the umbrella of SASCOC, we've worked together with SASCOC in terms of the safeguarding workshops that they've had, and we're working with them. How SASCOC then appoints their service providers is within their own policy, and we will respond, we will follow up on the issues that Honorable Van Dyke has raised around the questions that she's asked with regard to the safeguarding policy. With regard to the district development program, Madam Chair, I think in our APP, if you go to the actual document, it articulates per program. And if you look at program two, we've indicated where we're going to roll out all of our mass participation, our community sports programs, as well as where all the infrastructure programs that we will be rolling out in the 2023-2024 year going forward, where those infrastructure projects are and which districts and which municipalities they are located in. Cape gets the lowest grant in terms of the conditional grant. Madam Chair, the conditional grant allocation is normally done in terms of the equitable share. So in terms of the equitable share, the Northern Cape gets the lowest funding in terms of the province. But we are mindful, Chairperson, that it's it may not be fair. Whilst on paper, you say the lowest number of people, the population of Northern Cape is the smallest. But in reality, they have a vastness of their geographical structure, the allocation quite differently. So when we do the allocations, Madam Chair, each province as a baseline, each province gets 20 million rands. Thereafter, we then apply the equitable share proportions to determine the remaining amount. In the case of Northern Cape, we've even gone further, Madam Chair, and we've asked Gauteng and we've asked KZN to actually sacrifice, 2 million rands from KZN and 3 million rands from Gauteng, which get the biggest allocation of the grant. And though that 5 million rand is taken out of those two provinces and we give it to the Northern Cape. So the Northern Cape, in terms of the sport and recreation, the mass participation and sports development grant, gets more than they would if we just applied the equitable share formula. So that's how we now make sure that we realize that the areas are vast. They have to travel a lot in terms of getting from one district to the other in terms of the sports development programs, and hence that's the allocation. I think what we've also done afterwards is to also look at some of the events that we have. Let's go now to the Northern Cape. Madam Chair, with regard to the issues raised by Honorable Dennis, the issue of the Nelson Mandela Sports and Culture Day. Yes, it's a Mandela Month initiative. Obviously for us, Madam Chair, they are community-based activities where we have sports events in the communities, but we also go into the communities and do other activities like looking at sports infrastructure, the cleaning up of infrastructure, the painting of infrastructure, providing equipment, attire. Last year, we worked with the Nelson Mandela Museum in Kunu, where they staged a marathon. And this year, we're looking at that as well as other activities we're having in discussions with the minister since he's taken office. So, previously, we've had it on a big scale when there was budget, and we had partnerships where we had a fundraiser for the children, Nelson Mandela Children's Home. We've had a cycling race, we've had a road race, a fun run, and we've had a sports day where we had big teams coming together like rugby and football and the veterans, etc. So with budgetary constraints, we've not gone that approach. The Andrew Mlangeni Golf Day, Chairperson, yes, it is a partnership with Golf RSA, with the Golf Development Board, and with the Andrew and June Mlangeni Foundation, because as we know, Chairperson Andrew Mlangeni is a legend coming from the being the last existing Rivonia tireless in his time. And he is an embodiment of lifelong participation in sport. At the age of 90, he was still playing golf. And hence we have this partnership where we've had a development golf program culminating then into this Andrew Mlangeni Golf Development Day, where the young development golfers come onto the course and play with the professional golfers as well. So we give them this opportunity to participate. We've had, for the last 2 years, we've rolled it out, as I said, with Golf RSA and with the Golf Development Board in all of the 9 provinces. With regard to honoring Papua Sugulam, just to indicate, Madam Chair, we've honored Papua Sugulam, who was at one time even beat Gary player. That's correct, Honorable Dennis. And we have honored him through the Steve Schwete Lifetime Awards. We have also honored him in terms of an exhibition that we've done, the Sport in the Struggle exhibition that went out around the country on a few times. We also have the exhibition at the Freedom Park. We've had the exhibition at the Apartheid Museum. And we also took it to the Commonwealth Games in 2014. So we have honored him on many, many platforms already, Chairperson. The support for the MIG funding, the Capital Works Program, Mr. Mkhwera will speak about that. The issues of the Love Life funding, I think Mr. Tebogo Tebogo will speak about that. So let me hand over Chairperson to my colleagues to also respond to areas where I may have not fully responded to everything. ADG, with your permission, Chairperson, with your permission, if I can ask firstly Ms. Mkhwera to speak about all the infrastructure projects and Mr. Tebogo to speak about anything within Active Nation and Mr. Nube to speak about anything within Winning Nation, very briefly. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, ADG.
Thank you very much, DDG. I think through you, Chairperson, we will then, if they could just be brief, just fill in where DDG might not have covered. Lebogang, I know yours was a whole lot more, so can you go ahead on the infrastructure issues?
No, thank you very much, ADG. Good morning to Chairperson and all the honorable members. I would first start with the...
Thank you, former content advisor of sport, of our sports band. Thank you. We appreciate now that you are given this position that you are in. Congratulations.
He must come back, Chair.
Congratulations.
He
must come back.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Once again, good morning to Chairperson, honorable members and the colleagues. The first question posed by Honorable Mthongo with regard to the composition of the Capital Works Committee. Safe to indicate, honorable member, that all the programs within the department that have any capital projects, and that's primarily program 2 up to program 4, are represented within the committee, and they are even inclusive of the heads of those specific programs in the DDGs themselves. And of course, that committee was, amongst others, established for the purpose of ensuring that all the projects that we committed the resources to, we committed that in line with the status quo of the project, rather than putting a lot of funds in a project that is still to go through processes like your feasibility, and we allocate as if it's already at implementation stage. But beyond that, of course, it will then monitor on quarterly basis. That's how we are scheduled to meet in order to monitor all the infrastructure portfolio of the department, including those projects that are not directly implemented by ourselves, but through other implementing agents such as DPWI. Honorable member also made an example with Sarah Bartman, and I would want in my response to that cluster this question with the question that was raised by Honorable Van Dijk regarding Sarah Bartman. Just to indicate, honorable member, that part of the progress we have made as far as Sarah Bartman is concerned was, of course, to formalize the establishment of the project steering committee. And what is different compared to the past about that is the fact that the DSEC is expected to play an increased role, not only at an oversight level of the project steering committee, but also the subcommittees that are supporting the project steering committee, like technical committees, as well as project management committees. We are therein represented and be able to troubleshoot in areas that we are required as the owners and the sponsors of the project, rather than just waiting at the receiving end and wait for progress from DPWI. But in addition to that, honorable member, we also included DBSA, which has been appointed, of course, as an implementing agent, no longer necessarily Public Works, although it's contracted by Public Works, primarily because of issues of capacity that is there. And we believe that there will also be the required dedication and commitment by DBSA to the completion of the project. And the project is planned to be completed in terms of how we have allocated the resources in the period of 2024-25, and that also ties up with how much exactly is estimated to complete the project. We are looking at about 97 million, and honorable members, that was as per the last assessment which was done by the consultant on the project after the termination by the contractor. But the situation might have changed because that assessment was done in 2021. This is part of the reason why DBSA, although in principle they have agreed to continue as an implementing agent, but they have requested to conduct their due diligence so as to ensure that the estimates that we have provided, as well as the amount of work that still to be done, still remains, or now there are changes which may require us to review the budget moving forward. And then in terms of the question raised by Honorable Dennis, basically around three areas of MIG support, JL Dube and Sarah Bartman, I think I've addressed the Sarah Bartman issue. In terms of the MIG, rather technical and management support provided to municipalities. Honorable member would know that this committee at some point took a decision for ring-fencing of MIG, which is a budget seated with another department, ring-fencing portion that is earmarked for sport, and that ring-fence portion should be allocated by DSEC outside the normal formula of MIG. And we are now in the eighth year since we've been doing that specific program. And of course, it's a program that is meant to continue for Estonians. There's a need to build sports facilities in our respective communities. And yes, we're doing it through municipalities because in terms of how it's scheduled, and that scheduling aligned with the mandate, constitutional mandate of sports facilities, which is bestowed upon local government. And that's how we will then continue to then deliver this specific project, make an allocation, but ensure that you follow the money and the facilities that are built in line with the norms and standards applicable to sports and recreation facilities. And that's what technical support primarily is about, to ensure that whatever is completed at the end of the day is consistent with those specific norms and standards. Honorable member, fortunately, the JL Dube amphitheater, by the end of the financial year, we finally managed to achieve the practical completion, which basically means that a facility is ready to function, of course, with a little bit of snag, which are very minor issues, but those issues cannot prohibit the facility from functioning, and they cannot even pose any occupational health and safety as and when it is used. So that's basically what we are doing now, but we have achieved this specific target as far as KL Dube is concerned. That's where we are. And then, of course, there is an intention moving forward to include other assets or items to the facility, but that will be a completely new project. So members should not be surprised that completion is reported and then suddenly again we come back and still report on this matter. It will be a completely new project as far as that is concerned. And there's a question that was raised also by Honorable Dennis with regard to National Library of South Africa. Indeed, Honorable Member, there is a bit of a dilemma there. The roof that is leaking was as a result of the copper which was stolen, because the roof of that specific facility, it is copper. And because ordinarily functions such as those, replacements, refurbishments and maintenance of all our facilities are within the domain of public works, because that's public works mandate. What they have done, DPWI, in that regard was to facilitate the process. But because of the heritage nature of the facility, the heritage consultant was then invited, who then advised that we should not that just make patches of what must be corrected there, but rather remove the entire roof and then use a different material. And that's exactly where the situation is as of now, that entire roof is still to be removed, and then the different material will then be installed accordingly. And of course, there is a budget allocation that has been made in that regard, although it's not specific to this project, but it's part of the entire capital funding that we gave to the entity, which has other different sites. But there are resources indeed, honorable members, that are committed in that regard. And then coming to the issues that were raised by the chairperson. to an extent, I think the minister has also responded, particularly with regard to REM. I should indicate, honorable members, that what we have seen in the past in the social media and so on, after the facility was somehow affected by or damaged by the storms, and we saw the roof materials, asbestos specifically, being on site and so on. And we remember that picture. The picture that we had back then, it was since corrected. And that picture was also unfortunate, because when it was taken, it is when contractors were called to come and quote at the work, and then they give the estimates as to what is it, how much will it be required. And I can report that those have been attended to. But of course, there were other challenges the last time members went there. One of those were the Bluestone Quarry, members would remember, is in the historical significance or the heritage significance of the Bluestone Quarry. I think it was still under construction. In the last visit that we had with the Portfolio Committee of DPWI, that wall has been completed. And those repairs that I talked about, which were caused by a storm, they were also repaired. But I should indicate, honorable members, that the honorable members will also get to hear from REM itself when it presents that there are so many other things that were supposed to be done by DPWI, because maintenance is within their mandate. But they were not doing those, including, amongst others, it's issues like your interpretation and visitor center that had to be refurbished. That was supposed to happen. It did not happen. But as a department, we then had to capitalize that specific maintenance, because it was a matter that needed attention. And due to the intervention of DSEC, some work has been done. With regard to issues of wastewater treatment as well, there is a project underway. It was also a challenge. And we converted what's supposed to be a maintenance project into a capital project, as well as the refurbishment of the houses and so on. We've been making that progress as far as those are concerned. Just on the last issue, Chairperson, but that is not to say there are no challenges. There are still problems there. For example, the issue of a desalination plant, which is meant to ensure a sustainable water supply on the island from the ocean itself through the reverse osmosis process. There is a desalination plant, but it is no longer functioning. And the only reason why it is not functioning, honorable members, it's precisely because of Public Works is not doing what it's supposed to do. And that in itself now compromises even the operational budget of DSEC, because they had to resort to, or rather of REM, they have to resort to other means of ensuring that there are sustainable water supply. Likewise with the issue of power supply, regardless of the existence of an electricity plant, a solar plant that is there, and the batteries that have been installed and so on, not all the units are functioning accordingly that are supposed to be supplying electricity there. And it then puts a lot of pressure on other alternatives that REM has established. And the reason why that is not functioning accordingly is precisely because, again, of the maintenance issues. But what the department has done, like it has done with other projects, it looks at those alternatives of trying to capitalize what's supposed to be maintenance project. But in the last visit we had with the Portfolio Committee of DPWI, we got a clear commitment that in a space of 3 months, the total facility management company will then be appointed, which is supposed to be dealing with these very same issues that I'm referring to. And once the company is in place, all these matters will then be resolved accordingly. It's a matter that we are, of course, still to see moving forward, because this matter of appointment of TFM, it has been dragging for quite a while, Chairperson. I think I will end there. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lebogang. Through you, Chair Teboho, the Chief Director, M. Simphiwe, will just add to whatever DDG might have left out. We'll then move to the CFO after them, Chair.
All right. Thank you, ADG, and good morning, Chair, and good morning, honorable members, and good morning, colleagues. I'll switch off my video as well. Just wanted to show my face. Thank you so much. I'll be very quick. Okay. Chair, if you'd allow me, I'll be very quick on two matters. One is on the work of Love Life and that of Sport for Social Network Change, that with the allocations that they are doing. Chair, you recall that as part of the mandate of Sport, over and above the community sport and school sport, we have an obligation to implement all creation programs. And because those are currently not organized in the sense that sport is organized through federations, so we've got those partners that we implement programs with. One of them is Love Life, which we allocate a certain portion. And we do so having expanded even also the mandate of Love Life to also cover certain elements of school sport, precisely because Love Life would have facilities in rural areas where some of our federations are not being able to function, and therefore and facilities that can be accessible to learners in schools. So the allocation is partly meant to help for them to help us activate mostly recreation programs, but also to facilitate some of the after-school programs that we have in communities. The same with Sport for Social Network Change, which has a network of members from civil society organizations. These are not necessarily recreation or sport-related organizations, but these are organizations that to a greater extent implement some of the recreation programs in communities and are partnering with us. And for that, to enable partly some type of organized recreation. Sport for Social Network Change is a partner in that regard for us. The second part of the question which was asked was, if ever, what is the cost per capita of the of our allocation of mass participation grant? I think essentially when we look at that, there are various items or elements covered by the mass participation grant. That includes enabling environment of provision of sports equipment. It includes events. It includes general mass participation. Just on the general mass participation within community sport, just on the element of number of people participating in organized sport, where the total allocation that we give to provinces with a cumulative total of about 41 million rent, where we are targeting about 310,000 people to participate. Just in the previous year alone, we were able to achieve 345. These are unaudited stats, 345,000 people. And when you look at the average cost per person, it's 121. It's 121 rents per person because it's all locally based. So these are all costs related to the organizing and staging of the activities in communities. But when it comes to events, just to look at school sport event, the district event alone, where we are having a target of 45,000, but we're able, an audited stats that we're having currently sitting at 160,000, where the total allocation is 87 million. We are looking at a 546 rents per learner that is participating at district championships. Of course, it's a bit slightly higher than at the local level because there are transportation costs and meals that have to be factored when staging the district events. But on provision as well of sport equipment and attire, where annually we're targeting 2,500 schools, hubs and clubs, we are currently sitting at an unaudited sales of 3,676. And we can safely say that with a total allocation of 81 million for provision of equipment and attire to schools, clubs and hubs, on average, a club or a school or a hub is funded at about roughly 22,000 that is meant for the equipment and attire. What we might have to do with this one is just to make a comparison between when we had the transversal, when we did not have transversal tender last year and previous years as to whether there has been a slight change of the cost. But on average, that's what we are looking at in terms of what are the costs per capita of the many various things. There are other things I have not considered here, that is training that we are providing, but also dedicated to club development and the number of clubs that we
are really supporting in terms of the participants in those clubs. But on average, these are all the terms. Yeah. Thanks so much, ADG.
Thanks, Taboho. We're just finishing on sports now, Chair. Simpiwe, anything to add?
Good afternoon. This is good morning to the Chair and the members of the committee and the leadership from the department. From my side, I would just add in terms of one area, which is disability and disability programs. Just to note, Madam Chair, that whilst we have in the department programs that we run directly, wherein disability is mainstreamed and constitute a sizable number, which is above 2% of required minimum average. We also have, in terms of work that we do with the federations, specific organizations that we provide support to, that we work with, that actually caters solely for people with disabilities. That is SASA II being sports association for the intellectually impaired, PD is association for the physically disabled, and we also have Deaf Sport as the organization that we provide direct financial support to. And we have also, Chair, sought to really assist Special Olympics, although there is a need for the two, SASA I as well as Special Olympics, to work together, because they cater for the same target group. We do provide support to them to actually, support the athletes that they actually cater for. But within certain codes, support that we provide to certain codes, such as Tennis South Africa, there would be a portion for wheelchair tennis, as an example. So it goes with other codes such as rugby and as well as cricket. So that really is the approach, Chair, in terms of disability. I just thought I needed to add that part. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Still through you, we are going on to program 4. That is the heritage branch. There weren't that many questions, but there were some that the colleagues would address. I think mainly Ivan, it would be your area, if I can allow you. If Pulen wants to add, he can then add. Ivan, Chief Director Langefeld.
Good morning. Thank you, ADG, and good morning, honorable members. Yes, indeed, there were not many, perhaps three, if I could start and maybe combine the questions from Honorable Van Dijk and Honorable Dennis, both related to the Sarah Bartman Center of Remembrance exhibition and operations and when it will be operational. Of course, the operation and exhibition development is very much aligned to what Mr. Mukhwera has reported earlier on around the anticipated practical completion date of the construction, which is February 2024. So we also anticipate that the exhibition would be developed and installed by January 2024. We've appointed an exhibition development and museum development company, and they have done research and the initial design of the exhibition, and also done the concept for the exhibition. And have consulted quite extensively with the community and various groups related to the history of Sarah Bartman, but also the history of the Khoi and the San and the other groups of the other Khoi San groups, the other three main groups, the Korana, the Griqua and the Nama, and are having workshops with small focus groups to actually develop and to design and develop the exhibition. And part of this is training of community members around various programs in terms of the development of the exhibition and the production of the exhibition with regard to the production of text, images, the translation, the printing, the audiovisual production, and the sourcing of relevant objects for the exhibition. And we anticipate that the exhibition will be installed from 1 November to 16 January. Simultaneously, whilst that is happening, there is then the issue of governance, appointing a council for the museum as soon as it is opened, towards its opening, the declaration of the Center of Remembrance as a declared cultural institution from November to January 2024, and the appointment of the council and initial staff, culminating in January 2024. That is in essence the plan, the roadmap towards the development of the content, but also the operations and programs of the Sarah Bartman Center of Remembrance, whilst Mr. Mkhwera and his team is finalizing the container, which is the structure and the construction. If I may then just go to the second question, which was also by Honorable Dennis with regard to the recognition of the Stierman family and other families on the island. Robben Island, that is. I think when we had an initial or was participating as the department in the strategic planning session of the led by the Robben Island Museum Council, we actually emphasized the need for Robben Island to also look at other layers, recognizing other layers of the island's significance as a national monument, a national museum, but also a world heritage site. The early layers of leprosy and also the layer of traditional leadership, the imprisonment of traditional leadership on the island. And I think we congratulated the island on the cleansing ceremony that it had on the 16th of December as part of Reconciliation Day, where it had a cleansing ceremony recognizing the traditional leadership layer of the significance of the island. And they had the Korana as the main group participating in the ceremony led by the Ubaha or the leader. And RIM has also indicated subsequently that it is in the process of developing and signing a memorandum of understanding with the National House of Traditional and Khoisan Leadership to collaborate on the recognition of the traditional leadership layer of the Robben Island's significance. Robben Island is also tomorrow launching the decision by the council to declare this year 2023-24 the year of Robert Sobukwe on the island, and the ceremony is taking place tomorrow. So as the department will be monitoring very, very closely RIM's efforts to recognize all layers of its significance through its strategic plan and also its reporting on that strategic plan, but also our own participation in those programs. And then there's one question, I think, by Honorable Chair, if I heard it correctly. It was around the internships for heritage bursaries in the APP. we are only implementing the internship for heritage graduates in the current financial year. So it's not in the APP yet, but it's in our operational plan. In fact, the interns have already been placed at our heritage institutions and are also being placed in the department. But as that program grows, we will then elevate it to the APP, but it's at its initial stage in its first year of implementation. I think that's what I could record in terms of the questions raised, ADG and honorable members and honorable chair. Thank you so much.
On geographical names, Ivan, would that be not in your space?
It is in my space, then I have missed it. ADG, if ADG can just remind me.
I think Honorable Dennis asked about the gazettes on the geographical names and the planning for the geographical names workshop. I think it's on slide 76, that one.
Yes, we have the our APP target for the geographical names is three government gazettes, the publication of three government gazettes. It's normally from the second quarter. So we are doing the planning and preparation together with the South African Geographical Names Council, but also capacity building within provinces to assist provinces with consultation processes, the provincial geographical councils. And that is led by the South African Geographical Names, and it's on track. And we are also confident that we will be able to publish the three government gazettes as our annual target. ADG, Honorable Dennis and Honorable Members. Thank you.
Thanks, Ivan. Through you, Chair, just two more areas we will cover, just catching up on your time. CFO, there were questions on issues of budget and finances. And then I'll come in, Chair, to cover the rest of the questions, especially from ACPD.
No, thanks, ADG, and through you, Chair. The first question was on the Honorable Mhlongo on the issue of internal control post. The post has been advertised and then already closed. The panel to interview the candidates is already in place. So that post it will be filled very soon. And then on the issue of a fund dedicated to youth already under bursaries, we've got about 7.5 million that has been allocated to youth in terms of bursaries. And also the new ACM guideline and the regulation clearly also direct us to encourage to appoint more women in terms of procurement, because if we are a human, you'll get an extra 10 points, and that will make at least get 20 points in general. Or a person with disability, the same, and youth. So the policy of the department has already been make those changes in terms of the guideline and the gazette that was issued early this year for us to amend the departmental policy to deal with the targeted group so that we make sure that we implement in terms of the new regulations. And then Honorable Malumani, there was an issue of PSP to say how many percentage is being given to those implementing agents. We've got about the PMU, which in actually overall is about 5%, and then 4% is for project management officer who run in those funding. And then there was an issue of Honorable Chair about the additional fund that we get in this financial year. Indeed, it is a 42 million additional, and that 42 million comes from your PSP. I'll align that with a question from Honorable Fanbeg when she was saying that there was a shift between programs through sports and heritage in terms of increase. It's not necessarily an increase, it's because of our eco streamlining of process now, for in case all the infrastructure projects are done by a program, which is a sports program within Edifport infrastructure unit. But they are also doing projects that has to do with the ACDP and heritage. So for that, then the budget must be streamlined proper to those programs so that there is no heavy or in terms of budget issues, the budget related to sports, whereas it is related to heritage. For instance, if the project is for heritage, the infrastructure budget will go to heritage program. And then there was the Honorable Davis, page 40 of programs ministry. Yes, indeed, in terms of the budget structure, in terms of national treasury, we are guided that there must be a separation between, in terms of administration, you must demonstrate clearly in terms of say how much go to ministries and how much go to accounting officers' budget, which is literally within the corporate services. So that budget that is there is literally not only salaries, it is a commission of employees, your goods and services, and your capital. So it's anything to do that the minister, even if he has to travel, the money comes from that sub-program check. And then there was also from Honorable Denis the issue of 10% from goods and services. Yes, indeed, is a 10%. So is 640 of 6.3 billion, which is about 10%. That is what goes to goods and services within the department. And then lifeline issue was answered in the issue of the provisional grant on the baseline as well on our front page. So that was answered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CFO. Chairperson, I'm going to address some of the questions, some are related to ACPD, but there are also some generic questions that I will address. There was a question from Honorable Mhlongo, for instance, regarding the fact that when you look at the allocation, there are no earmarked funds for youth. And I just wanted to make an example there. Our approach in structuring our APP, as we indicated in the presentation, if you look at slide 87 to 90, what we did there was to actually show a link of the projects that we are doing to that targeted group, in this case, the youth, for instance. So if I might just cite an example, what it says there, 87 to 90, if, for instance, you look at the, you look at the ACPD section, it will indicate the different programs or interventions that we are doing that are specifically targeting young people or the youth. And against those ones, which we did not include in the slide, and I think going forward, we just might want to then structure our slide, but also the APP differently. Because when you then go, for instance, artists in schools have got a budget of about 22 million, just targeting young creatives that are placed in schools. There's a program there where for the first time this year, we are putting young creatives in community art centers so that we enhance their employability, because they've got a workplace that they are serving from, but also exposure in terms of potential future employers. And there's a budget today that goes of about 11 million. So I'm saying, Chair, you would not find just in our allocation something that just says allocation for youth, but we are specifying the programs. And as you go further, you are able to see in each program how much actually is set aside for each of those particular programs. But as I'm saying, going forward, we might want just maybe Mr. Makwela, if you are also listening, going forward, just to structure that slide and our APP differently so that the amount also reflects not just the programs. And then if I then move on, I wanted to touch a bit on the issue of the people with disabilities and the programs that we did. I know that DDD Chikwatamba spoke to the internal processes, but I wanted to also cite in terms of externally, again using ACPD as an example. One of the programs that we highlighted in the slide where we talk about programs that are geared towards people with disabilities, in our case, in ACPD, it will be artists with disabilities, the Weekend Arts Festival. What we have done through consultation with those people that actually run this program, we are now targeting a total of 200 artists with disabilities. And it's no longer just a festival in terms of how it's structured, but it's made up of a series of capacity building programs like your master classes and other such programs. Then it culminates, it builds up, and it is actually throughout the country. It's not just targeting one or two provinces. So they would find similar examples when HPP talks to what they are doing in the area of people with disabilities, similar examples from athletes with disabilities. I'm just citing an example of the external beneficiaries in our artists with disabilities that sit at 200 for that, just that one program with Weekend Arts Festival. And that came from Honorable Mhlongo. I want to also then move to Honorable Zondi, a question that was very specific to the court ruling regarding SARA. And as far as that is concerned, Honorable Zondi, the department also confirmed by the public protector in the meeting that was held in March 2022, with the public protector, has met its obligations in as far as the implementation of the actions that needed to be implemented by the department, emerging from both the High Court and also the public protector. Just to cite those kind of interventions or actions that have been implemented, one of those was the revamp of and the renovation of the SARA building, which was done and completed and launched on the 17th of February 2022. The amount that was invested there for the renovation of the SARA house was 26 million. And then there were others like the SARA International Relations, the SARA Live Events Technical Production Conference, and also supporting SARA's administration and operations. And it's different amounts there as well that have actually been invested by the department for those two projects, emerging also from those actions, the remedial actions. Just on the administration and operations, 2020 to 2023 was 5.6 million that was put towards the administration and operations. So while we were implementing these public protector recommendations, Chairperson, SARA also gave us a proposal towards seeking for support of the backstage academy programs. And we have signed an MOA with SARA, which the first year of implementation is the one that just finished now, 2022-23. It's our MOA that we've signed with SARA goes on up to 2025. That is now outside the public protector issues that I was raising. But the commitment of the department was that it will look and consider SARA's proposal, obviously in line with budget availability. So just that one where we signed the MOA and we started implementing last financial year, this is the second year, the amount there is 18.5 million. So I want just to link my response to the question in terms of where we are with the implementation of those rulings and obligations to the question that came from Honorable Mazingos with regard to what we are doing regarding Ubaba Unyatela's application to the National Lottery. I do not believe, Honorable Member, that we have the authority to actually interfere with the processes that are undertaken by a different institute. However, I need to indicate that led by the department, we have had a meeting with the National Lottery Foundation, the chairperson, commissioner, and the acting COO were present in the meeting, not to engage on a specific matter related to a specific person, but to talk about how we work together in making sure that we support this industry, in terms of also having an impact in alignment and integration of the efforts that we are making as these entities. This also, hopefully, is responding to the question that Honorable Adams also raised in terms of mobilization of funds, also working with other partners, including social partners. So there are several others that have been identified where we are engaging, and we are looking at the extent to which we can be able to align and work together as partners towards the support of the creative industry. I've clustered together responding to those three honorable members, chairperson, with respect to this last response that I made. CFO has responded, I think, to the PESP question. However, there was another PESP question that I'm just quickly trying to find a chairperson in my notes that I also wanted to, or there was a question from Honorable Adams that was talking to what has been the actual intervention with regard to PESP. And I wanted to just indicate, and it's there in one of the slides in our presentation, that in total, last financial year that just finished, 42,000 jobs were actually created. And we are projecting about 48 in the new financial year. And I tie this response and this response to Honorable Adams' question to a response to also the question from Honorable Dennis around the nature of the jobs that we are creating. Remember, with the creative industry, the model that we use is the one that we call the multiplier model. It's an employment multiplier model. Yes, it is funding different organizations, and what we have strengthened this time around, especially with PESP, is following the money and going to do verifications in terms of the existence of those projects and actually being able to verify the numbers that are being reported on. So it's indirect employment in terms of categorization, but it is specifically the employment multiplier model, also recognized by the presidency in their report of the nature of jobs that we create. On the SILAPA question from Honorable Van Dijk, yes, the project, in fact, the project wasn't established in 2022, maybe just a correction there, Honorable Van Dijk. The project commenced in the financial year 2020-21 and has been going on for 3 years. It started off as a pilot project, and in terms of the closeout report that was submitted by the service provider that was appointed through an open tender process at that time, we have managed to reach quite a number of stakeholders. We included the athletes halfway through the project because of the amalgamation, because we didn't want to exclude athletes where there was dire challenges that they were experiencing. While the project, when it started, was mainly for the creatives, because it started before the amalgamation. The tender process, I believe, started around 2019. So in total, in terms of the closeout report, we were sitting at 2,195 that have actually, in different formats, have gone through this program, be it through awareness program or through follow-up. Included in the 2,195 is 518 that really followed up and interacted with the call center through telephone, but also through face-to-face. Surprisingly, when we looked at this closeout report, contrary to the popular belief, we found that the majority of the users of this particular intervention program women. I'm saying contrary to popular belief, Chairperson, because all the time we normally say men do not readily want to come forward and talk about their challenges. But we found that there were more men than women utilizing this service, especially the 580 that did telephone calls and face-to-face approaches of the call center. So in terms of how they benefited, it's a range. Our closeout report actually does describe the nature of problems that the beneficiaries or the practitioners in the industry were experiencing. Mental related problems, emotional, psychological. You would find that a few would actually make telephone calls wanting to know more about the financial assistance that could be provided to them, and they would then be guided correctly. So it's different percentages. Mental health related is 31% that came forward on that, financial advisory 15%, and then stress related and the range of others, marital, partner relations, etc. I hope I'm answering that question. And then just lastly, Chairperson, or the funding for the Mzansi National Philharmonic Orchestra comes from the NAC, Chairperson, as has been reported also in the past. The question from Honorable Adams in terms of improving and making sure there is diversity in the cultural industry. We're not yet there, Honorable Member, but the different programs that we are targeting, like the Debut Fund, wants to create an opportunity for artists to play within the digital space and be able to convert a nature of your artwork or your talent in such a way that it is able to play in that particular space. I'm talking here also about, I've made a mention of the Debut Fund program, but there are other programs that we are pursuing. What we did for the MGE open call this year, for instance, was to actually encourage the applicants through the criteria that were there to have targeted kind of interventions so that you don't have your mundane, ordinary kind of cultural events, etc., where it's a one-day event, etc., but it's a kind of interventions or programs that are actually enabling this kind of diversity in a targeted format. And those are the ones that we are actually targeting for funding in as far as MGE is concerned. Chairperson, lastly, the question that came from you, I think the CFO has addressed the reason for the decrease of the budget for ACPD. It's as a result of about 400 million decrease next year, 24-25, because there is no commitment for PESP as yet. Just lastly from you, Chairperson, also was the issue of the inclusion of the revised white paper going forward. I think in a sense it's included already, Honorable Chair. However, perhaps it needs to come out more sharply in our narrative when we write our APP, because how we write it is in terms of the specific, for instance, it could be talking to policies that are being implemented, all emanating from the revised white paper. But I'm just saying as a lesson from what we are saying, maybe we need to structure our APP in our narrative differently so that it clearly reflects that. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope I have covered the questions that might have been left out. We'll be guided by you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, SDG. Honorable members, I'm suspecting the way that the questions were asked by honorable members. To me, all of the members have asked a number of questions. So I'm seeing the hand, one hand of Honorable Mhlongo. Can I tell you, honorable members, that the bus is just entering the park. I'm attending physically.
if by 12:30, when we are not done, whilst we're thinking that will be done at 11:30, but we're underestimated that, I don't have any problem. Honorable Nhlonko.
It's not a, I think they've responded to our question, but the question that they did not respond, why do we allocate e-land, what is it, the 4 million for e-love life? I think it's a concern and we took a decision as a committee. I'm following up on Honorable Van Dijk, but the 40 million, we took a decision, but there's no impact or feasibility study has been done. But it's out of our jurisdiction. They don't do the impact the sectors that we run to for 40 million. Another suggestion, just small suggestion, NLC. I think NLC must come to us to discuss other sectors within sport, within arts and culture. That I think the last time they came, it was 2017, Chairperson, details of sports only. Now I'll propose that maybe in future we call NIC to come and report to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlonko. Except that it was a contribution, we didn't take a decision that there's no impact. For instance, some of us, we can cite some areas where they've done something in some of rural areas, but we'll discuss even as committee members. But your point has been taken by us as members and the department. Thank you so much, Honorable Mhlonko, about that contribution. Honorable members, if you want to respond, DG, this is the last follow-up question, and then I'll thank everyone. I'm happy, you know what, members, they are taking care of the what you call the presentations. Can I give it to you, DG?
Thank you very much, Chair. On the issue of the love life, I'm going to have to lean on my colleague to assist me. They would have, they would be better able to do so. Thanks, Chair. Did it,
Chair? Thank you.
Thanks,
Chairperson, and thanks. Yes, did you, Chairperson, love life historically? Love Life was established through a grant that came from the Henry Ford Foundation. Initially, when they put in money, the understanding was that there'd be a limited time for the funding, and the government of South Africa committed to continuing with funding Love Life. And that's how the funds came about. So it's ring-fenced funding. We cannot interfere with that. However, because it's in our budget, we take responsibility for it. And as we've indicated, we've aligned Love Life activities with ours. So they collaborate with us in terms of the school sports activities. They're actually very big and collaborate with us in terms of the youth camps. And importantly, Chairperson, they also contribute to job creation for youth, because they have a whole lot of groundbreakers that they assign into the communities to do sports development. They work with the provinces. They have a presence they have offices in the provinces. And they have the Y centers where on a daily basis in the communities, they run sports programs. Yes, they did do an evaluation, and I think we will get that report and we will share it as well. But by and large, they are a very strategic partner to us, because they assist in actually into the footprint in some of the areas where we may not have resources, but they actually contribute to the achievement of some of our objectives, and also importantly, you know, advancing the whole healthy lifestyles agenda. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. We're handing back to you. Thank you, DDT.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll try to get the information about this Love Life, because immediately that I was starting to be first of kind chairperson, when they didn't come and present, I forwarded some requests. As I'm speaking, in one area in Bizana and one area, I don't know whether it's Langa. I've seen good work, but it's a question of discussion with us as a committee also. Can I take this opportunity to thank the department by taking care of us, of coming and presenting very informative budget. The only thing that, honorable members, I can even myself as individual member of parliament, we can pursue. We've been since inception complaining about this budget of this department. In all international and world, this is only South Africa which cannot have a good budget for sport, let alone now that we have got a measure. Since I came here, I've been trying to lobby the leadership of the government, and not only myself, but as a committee now, collectively. This is the least budget in the country, let alone that with a new department of women and people with challenges. But sport has been there, but we've been saying that we can't do with this little budget. As we're hearing now, I was advocating this thing of a women's sport, and when they're saying this 117, it's not a billion, it's a million, and accordingly they're supposed to give a sector of sporting codes which are bigger. And now, as we're sitting, we are seeing that the improvement on women's sport, it necessitating that we need more budget in order that they must not thinking that even our good selves as members of this committee were not advocating the increase of this, but it will depend in our debates and in the sharing of a budget through a government of today. Can I take this opportunity to thank the leader, which is acting DG, and in absentia, the minister and the deputy minister, and the committee members, and the staff of both the department and our offices as chairperson, thanking you very much. I must again say that thank you that you join us, Honorable Zondi, to sit at home. Sometimes you cannot heal. This is a good example of a leader. That you must come back to your second family, which is the committee. The meeting is adjourned or closed.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to all. And
thank you, Chair.